Hi, Jim and them. I
Good hear evening, that your cowards.
Podcast is absolutely incredible. It's a showstopper every time.
Just take a minute, okay? You have something to say. I have something to say. All right, so let's just talk, okay?
Good evening, cowards.
Well, fuck, let's get it, then.
Quiet down now. It is time to watch the show. Yes, it started. Don't be licking me no more. Matter of fact, could you get me a handy why?
Good evening, cowards.
With their powers combined, they become pop culture. With their powers combined, they become Jim and Them, the greatest podcast in the world.
Cuts our papers, you bitches.
This is a comedy show.
And we taking over the industry. We taking over the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make something amazing happen right now.
Blah, blah, blah.
Shut the fuck up!
I'm retarded.
Tupac Shakur.
I'm gonna come.
Party till...
Double chunk chocolate cookie!
What it do? Welcome, everyone. This, my friends, is Jim and Them. Apologies about the late start. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
Wait, what time is it?
7:40.
That counts as 7-ish.
Yeah. It's 7-ish.
Or is that 8-ish?
It's
wait.
It's
wait.
I can't think of another ist.
I guess if
it's
I
it's racist.
If I was gonna say, hey, I'll meet you there 7-ish, and someone showed up at 7:40, I'd probably be like, come on. But if I said 8-ish and they said 7:40, I'd be like, all right, I guess that's pretty early.
Yeah.
But that's closer to 8-ish, you're right.
With the YouTube, I do schedule it. So I do try to schedule it at 7:15.
Ah.
So I at least try to have the feed going. But anyways, whatever. I was going to do this whole thing, too, and I forgot because all the technical difficulties. I was going to do this whole thing because, you know...
Wait, you would still do it, Jim. This will be fun.
Well, it's too late. This is why I can't do it, though.
No, do it, but pretend that...
All right, let's pretend... All right, well, see if you can pick up what I was going to do.
All right, let's go.
And then, so then that's when I said to him, and then let's go, and then here we are, and then we do the thing.
Oh, no, I don't
see,
know.
No, the thing is, I have to set it up.
Okay,
I have
sorry.
To tell you. Because you know how every modern podcast nowadays starts in the middle of a conversation usually?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like usually
yeah.
It comes on and they're like, and then I was like, what are we doing? And then the guy's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then they start talking. And yeah. Then the guest is all like, right. Are we going?
Wait, are we on?
There's always the moment like, are we going?
Is this the show?
But yeah, I was going to do the thing, but I didn't. I don't know if you can hear, Mike. The TTS
oh, no.
is back.
Oh, I'm cursed, Jim. Yeah. I'm feeling extra cursed with the return of the TTS, which I hate. I hate the TTS.
No, you love TTS. Mike does reverse psychology for the TTS to make you do it more. But yes, TTS is back. I'm sorry if you're doing it now because like the intro's happening.
Yeah.
So you can't always hear it. But yes, thank you everybody for finding our new old channel.
Good evening, cowards.
We hit the goddamn whatever you're supposed to hit. So
the bell?
We could, yeah, we hit the bell so that you can now do TTS again. You can now, you could become a member. I added a bunch of sounders and stuff to the things so we could play around with that. We can have lots of fun here with your boys at Jim and Them. This, my friends, is a Corey Feldman show. You are tuned in right now live on the Jim and Them YouTube channel and also twitch.tv/Jim and Them.
Let's go.
Shout outs to the motherfucking real ones in the motherfucking chat.
I have one demand, Jim.
Yeah, what's that?
I want to know who the fucking real ones are.
Oh, who do we got? We got After Midnight in the YouTube chat. He just said farts.
Ooh.
Wow, what a real one.
After Midnight. We gonna let her all hang out.
We got Max Murder, of course. We Ooh. Got Jason Burton. We got Deep Thoughts with Joe, all in the YouTube chat. We also got Daewoo and Employee 75 in the Twitch chat. Those are just a taste of a few of the motherfucking real ones.
Wow. I like how many times we've said fuck and the show just started.
Yeah, that's how I like to do it sometimes. I like to let if any
love you, Mike. Have more TTS.
Yeah, there you go, Mike. Thank you, Duquesne.
Oh, thanks. I'm really stoked.
Remember to say Obama in your TTS too.
I didn't miss like being able to talk. I didn't miss not having to stop anytime someone wanted to add something to something we talked about 3 minutes ago.
People like to chime in, yeah, man. People like to be a part of it. But yeah, we watched Craven.
You said people want to be a part of it. And I said, hey.
Oh, you're part of it. Goddamn, how'd I miss that? Hey, you're part of it. We watched Kraven the Hunter for our Patreon, that new film.
Experience. I think it's more of an experience.
That new Spider-Man villain joint for you all. And here we are in the goddamn last show of the year, and what a year it's been.
Woo!
For Jim and them. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even know that like we tell them what year it is, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. No, in fact, I think a couple weeks ago we were going to do it. We went off on a tangent, and then it never like wrapped back around to the year.
So for people that don't know, like when the year starts,
okay, fucking get ready.
The year doesn't start until Jim and them tells you what year it is.
Can you give them some examples, Jim?
Actually, do I have? I have the newest one.
Cowards.
Well, no, you don't, Jim.
Do I have to back up a little bit? You think?
All I'm saying is, we need to go back as far as you're allowed because the new people need to experience the evolution.
Like 14 years.
But there's so many, dude.
Oh, no. Oh, darn.
Hold on. I'm just, because I don't even know. I wish I had them already.
Jim, I'll tell you
one thing. I can go to 2020. Let's go to 2020.
We throw them all on. Just take a smoke break.
Let's ease people in. We could do the 222.
Okay.
Because that has our boy Feld Dog is a part of it.
Because what I've learned from being back in the Discord for a short time is people...
I don't remember adding that
features.
One.
That's good.
People want to learn.
I don't remember adding that one. Oh, that's from Twitch. Thank you, Ace.
People want to learn about the things that they don't know about that have to do with us. That like that all the new blood they want to be involved in like these long running jokes. They want to know about them.
This is perfect because I completely forgot, and we've all been dropping the ball.
Traditions,
because we all got distracted with our YouTube channel being taken away. We're introducing people into the Feldman and the Feldman of the year, and we kind of that took the back burner to losing the channel and the Tots Turn toy drive we were doing.
Yes.
So that's also kind of important.
Yes.
With when it goes back to the 222 year.
Well, what day is New Year's?
New Year's. Oh, New Year's
Thursday.
Really interested to see what Corey's comeback will be in 2025.
I agree, Miss Dog Lover. Thank you for the super chat.
Oh, it's a Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah, Tuesday night's New Year's Eve.
Here on Tuesday, you're going to find out who the Feldman and the Feldman.
Yes, yeah. Because
the Feldog?
We will be doing a... That's right, we're doing a Feldog of the Year. We will be doing a hang on New Year's Eve. It'd be more of a hang than a traditional show. Yeah. But like, it's a hang with your boys at Jim and them.
Fun will be had.
But yes, so going back to 2022, for example, we didn't get... Well, I mean, I don't know I'm even calling it that. That's not what year it was.
Yeah.
The year... Here it is. 20!
Hello to Jim and them. This is Mike Kaplan here to wish you a very Mike Kaplan 2022.
Oh, there's two this year, actually.
A Mike Kaplan 2022!
Don't worry about who Mike Kaplan is.
On this New Year's Day, we'll be in line for a booster.
Hi, Corey here.
In the 2-2-2.
Good luck on Jim and Them's quest for a 2-2-2 New Year.
I would rather set my nuts on fire than see Corey Feldman in concert.
Man, it's so great to have TTS back.
I love TTS.
Thank you, Jason Burke. Jim and Them do rock.
Good luck on Jim and Them's quest for a 2-2-2 New Year and their search for Feldman of the Year.
Good luck on your quest to find the Feldman of the Year.
We will crown the Feldman of the Year! Corey Feldman!
So apparently this is a web show. I've never seen it or heard of it, but you have a big fan in N-Man.
Oh, little did he know that less than 2 years later, he would have seen it and heard of it.
I forgot that was why we came up with Feldman and Feldman of the Year,
yes.
Is that Mike Kaplan says it wrong, and we're like, well, shit, we got to have both, and one's good and one's bad.
Well, yeah, that's right, because, we were always going to crown a Feldman of the Year, but Mike Kaplan said it in a different way. And so we're like, you know what? Let's crown both.
Well, this is the only one that features my future wife, Ariana Grande.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. Oh, actually, she was maybe in the boosted year the year before.
That was this
year. But
either
way, 2021. Well, that was 2022. 2023 was 20!
Churro. Hi, Corey here.
In the year 2023, Jim and Them, the greatest podcast in the world,
Churros,
will celebrate a monumentous occasion in any girl's life. A sweet 16.
It's the Jim and Them sweet 16. We all grew up so fast. But please don't get too excited, because this year might be the last.
Now, I purposely had him put that in there, by the way.
I can't hear.
Must be your headphones.
Okay, cool.
I purposely had him put that in there, by the way, because I was like, we might be done after this shit. Yeah.
Guys, what do I keep saying? This is just a thing Jim does every once in a while.
16 years? What the fuck?
It's over.
Well, and what people don't understand is what you're hearing is like, probably sounds crazy. Sounds like a cacophony.
Yes.
Like the idea of jumping
but
straight into these.
But this has been going on for a decade.
The evolution literally started as like, it was like Jim would record himself being like, oh, it's 2017.
Well, we did.
I love tacos. And then it's just over. And it's just like,
whole year of months. Every month was like a new theme.
It was like a 9-second clip. And then they got longer. And then there was Foley work. And then there was storytelling.
No, what it started with, in 2010, we would just say on the show, we're doing it big in the
2010. But I'm telling people these big theatrical versions.
And then the theatrical version, came the next year after the 2010. Yeah. So then this year, the year that we're currently in, 20!
It is the year 20 Boopak.
Boopak is skis nasty.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Boopak is skis nasty.
Turn up the
BTS. Boopak is skis nasty. Boopak is skis nasty. Boopak is skis nasty.
Boopak is skis nasty.
Boopak is skis nasty.
Da, Boopak, get to the chopper. We will take this year to remember Boopak Shakur, a great man who is always blowing ounced of piff and constantly smoking highest kites using Rellos. He will be back.
Boopak Shakur!
My back shots sound like bongos.
Yeah, little did we know.
Oh, my God.
It was the 20 Boopak. That was before we could even just get AI voices to do those.
Yeah, now that guy that you've been giving money to for 4 years, he's broke. He's living in a refrigerator box on the street now, Jim, because of AI.
That intro is like the equivalent of when like millennials see some kid like skibbity, Riz to Ohio.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you were here from the beginning, you watched the evolution happen, but if you're just like jumping in the middle,
it sounds
the fuck?
I get it. It sounds like noise, but it'll make sense. It just it just makes sense throughout the year. At the beginning of the year, we dub the year, and then we ride it until the end.
It'd be like if Ant-Man 3 was your first MCU movie.
But keep that in mind, people. Who are you going to nominate? Who's up for Feldman of the Year? Who's up for Feldman of the Year? Who's up for Feld Dog of the Year?
Remember, Feld Dog.
Because those all need to be crowned this year.
It's like a thing that happened.
Yes.
Feldman of the Year is good. Feldman of the Year
is bad. Yes, that's how it's going to go.
So that is how your nominations should go. So like a great thing that... So technically, Feld Dog of the Year shouldn't be Jim and Them losing their YouTube, because that's a bad thing that happened.
Yes, yeah. That could be... Yeah, that could be the Feldman of the Year.
But us finding Eric could be Feld Dog of the Year, because that's a great thing that happened.
Yeah, shout outs. But yes, for now, I mean, now what everyone's here for, Corey Feldman stuff, what's going on? Now, I did go through, I didn't go through it. I was about to.
I've been going through it. Every time I show up here, every Friday, I'm going through it.
As you know, we did our unboxing last week of the Love Left 2.1 box set, and it did come with some goodies in there, namely... a documentary DVD, which I ripped. I ripped it, and I was just skimming through it real quick to make sure it came through. And I was like, oh, I better watch this and pull clips. But I skimmed through and dropped it on one point, and he was saying, like, that is he got his initial inspiration from Weird Al. He's like,
okay.
Weird Al Yankovic. He's like, I saw Weird Al Yankovic just do someone else's number one song and have a number one song. And I was like, that's what you could do? And I'm like, this guy's admit. I was like, we just got to watch this whole
thing.
Yeah,
that like that really enlightens a lot of things. That tells me a whole lot about
Corey. Just custom dancing like Michael Jackson. Like, huh.
So,
with
I mean.
With his hat over his eyes. Is that the freeze frame that's on right now?
But hold on. Let me pull it up here. So this is, I mean, I don't think you can find this anywhere. Because no one's bought the...
Yeah, you can find this at Corey's house.
Documentary, except us.
Well, and anyone that bought it would be Eric. Like, I don't have a DVD player. My PS2, I gave to the Goodwill years ago.
I did have to go to my old computer just to even rip it, because my computer doesn't have a disc drive.
I don't have the remote for my Xbox that plugs in.
But this is Corey Feldman, artist, the man behind the love.
this is an Feldman hour artist. Long.
Oh, yeah, the thing is, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through the whole thing. We might have to break this. Well, I just mean in a part one. We might have to break this up a bit. But also, I know everyone's excited.
Yeah.
We're all excited because we got a new, never before seen documentary.
Hold your piss.
But if we're playing it, let it play a little bit. I know there's going to be moments where we won't be able to. Like sometimes we won't be able to contain ourselves. I get it. Because he's going to do or say something that's so insane. We're all going to start screaming at each other.
We're all start goose-stepping.
Start throwing stuff at each other.
Fuck you.
But, here we go. This is the man behind the... And made by... Is it not Jake Perry? That's
the wrestler.
Yeah, Monkey Boy
that's
or whatever.
Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy.
Luke Perry, I'm sorry.
No, it's something like that.
Steve Perry.
Actually, it probably Perry. Says it in the beginning.
Could this be more of a documentary?
It's the stoner guy from the My Tree. Remember, it cuts to a guy with long hair? And he's like...
No.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, guys, then Haim was like...
It's the guy from Ancient Aliens.
But I think that guy is Corey's assistant, which... Yeah. What a great gig.
He's his plug.
Oh, Jake Perry. Okay, thank you, Justin. In the chat is Jake Perry. Here we go. Yeah, Jake Perry.
Corey Feldman.
Let's hear for Corey.
Corey Feldman.
Hey, Corey, how you doing, buddy?
Corey Feldman.
Corey is back.
He was going for it, and I was really impressed.
He's so talented.
Corey's funky.
Did they make this during COVID? Is that we're going to get all Zooms?
It has to be.
Does the intro already have three Zoom interviews? Or do they just want to hang out with Corey?
Well, you have to have money to be able to interview someone in a room.
Yeah, what do you think? This is the My Truth doc where they actually got people to come to his house or whatever?
Very charming guest host, Corey Cole. Yeah. Performs his latest single, Go For It, and the segment instantly went viral.
Corey is out of the box, and that's just the way Corey is.
What can you imagine knowing what he said? Did he say Corey is Corvobots?
I think he said he's cuckoo bombs.
Cuckoo bombs.
Single, Go For It, and the segment instantly went viral.
Corey is out of the box, and that's just the way Corey is.
Cocobons.
Corey is Cocobons.
Well, is that some sort of elite rocker that I don't know?
No, losers know about Skippy, but I'm way ahead. I'm already talking about Cocobons.
No, it's this 14th century clown that some say was the inspiration for stand-up comedy. Cocobons.
That's true.
It's like a French clown that isn't funny.
What do you think he's saying? Because I can't think of even words that...
coup de grâce?
I have a better question. Who do we think this guy is?
It's the Nick Offerman.
I thought it was the right? I thought it was the pirate bass player. Is that not the pirate bass player?
I don't think it. Maybe it could be. I don't think it is.
I just assumed it was.
It could be.
I think it's your mom.
It's probably like someone that was on a sitcom or something or other.
Can you play it back one more time? Just so I really want to.
I might take it back a
figure
little
out what I think that word is.
Jim Enhance. Jim and Enhance.
His band performed his latest single, Go For It, and the segment instantly went viral.
Corey is Kirk DeMons, and that's just the way Corey is.
He's Kirk DeMons.
Yeah, do you think that
knows
is...
Kirk DeMons.
Is it the guy? Is it just the bad audio of the recording? Or music that's playing, that's coming up loud over him trying to speak?
Because like I can't even like... You know, sometimes you mishear something, but you go like, oh, I heard blah, 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 so it's got to mean blah, blah, blah. I can't... like phonetically create anything that's even similar.
Yeah, it's the whisper at the end of Lost in Translation. I think it's a combination of bad audio, bad pills that are pressed from mostly meth on there, and just bad dental hygiene.
This is why I had concerns while I was getting through it. We're 42 seconds in, and we're like, wait a minute, we got to hear that.
Well, but it's a 3-hour show.
Yeah, true, true, true. All right.
What are you going to do? Let people talk when they say nonsense?
Maybe that's one of the. Maybe that's like a. They're just planting the seed.
Joy de Verve.
Or we'll cut back.
Did you say Joy de Verve?
Yes. And we're going to see that interview later and be like, oh, he meant Cocoa Buns.
Maybe he said Joy de Verve.
Cocoa Buns is it's just. It's got to be something.
Cocoa Buns. I had this character named Cocoa Buns. It was Michael Jackson. Corey tonight.
I don't know this song.
There is another game I want to do. We'll have to do it at a different time though, because I ripped. There's another. Oh, actually, it's on this same disc. There's 10 karaoke video versions with like the lyrics. But what's great is we don't know. I mean, you are Freeze on there, which we know, but most of the songs we don't know. So I think what we should do is we should. Do the songs how we think they
then
might
play
go,
it right
and try to sing them how we think it would go, and then hear how it actually goes.
That is fun.
We would never nail it, although we might. But he always is throwing monkey wrenches.
Yeah, and you know what's also great is like Corey Feldman obviously has been famous or at least existed my whole life, but it really is wild. Like I knew has kind of done the music thing or whatever, but when you see something like this and you see all these clips, like. He really was just doing this somewhere, and I had no idea.
I was literally about to say, if the one positive thing comes out of this little early clip show is that it perpetuates that he's telling the truth when he says he thinks he's been a music guy for a long time.
Yes.
Because you're seeing really young versions of him trying to be music guy, and so it's actually kind of crazy that he's still trying to be music guy.
I still feel, and again, I haven't double checked on this, but it feels like at the very least, though, he did it, but then stopped somewhere in the early 2000s
for a very long time,
for like a decade, and then brought it back for whatever reason.
He got clean,
yeah,
and then he got back on the smack.
Corey Feldman is a natural born. <Let's go. laughs> He's one of the most popular childhood.
Wait, hold on. I know everyone hates this.
Was laughing because I looked earlier and said 58 seconds.
I know everyone hates when we do this.
Yeah, we're under a minute.
What are we going to do? This is going to be trash if we just let it play.
When Ben Schwartz shows up and starts talking about Corey Feldman, we have to rewind.
Did you see like the airbox thing that he did? What was that?
Let's see it.
Dude, right. We're going to be watching this for like 6 days.
Yeah. What else are you doing?
Corey Feldman is a natural-born entertainer.
Or is he just pointing? Was he pointing or was he shadow
boxing? We needed to spice this doc up.
All right.
Why don't you do something? Why don't you freestyle?
Yeah. But he's the director.
Yeah. I know. That's why I'm like, did they need 3 more seconds? That's so we're like, we need 3 more seconds.
He really needed some B-roll.
Most popular child stars of the 1980s. He's most well-known for his acting roles in movies like The Goonies, Gremlins, Burbs, Lost Boys, and Stand By Me.
What's great
but he's
is...
he's also been making music for over 35 years.
He's also kind of like... I mean, not to nitpick the production, but like this is the filmmaker. He made this documentary, but his narration, it's only coming in on like the right side mostly, right?
Yeah.
It's coming in a little bit on the left, but mostly
more
right.
On the right. Yeah. Minute 15, by
Come
the way.
Come on, guy. Fix your shit.
My name is Jake Perry, and I'm a lifelong Corey fan. Ever since I was a kid, it was my dream to work with the Coreys. And that dream came true. Some of you may recognize me as Corey Feldman's personal assistant from season 2 of the Two Coreys television show. Now I'm back helping Corey
What the fuck? Oh my God. Hold on.
Some of you may recognize me as a big homo.
On one hand... you have to respect someone who had a lifelong dream and they achieved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I guess his lifelong dream was just to be around the Coreys. Yeah. He's around one Corey now, at least. So good for him. Now I'm back. You may have seen me on this shitty fake reality show, and now I'm back with this shitty, dumb documentary.
I've always wanted to work with a Belushi. I'm working with Jim.
The Love Left box set. Corey gave me
access John, which is the bad one?
Both. IMO. IMO, both.
No, Jim Belushi is the bad one.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's a really bad one, yeah.
I unearthed a ton of never-seen-before concert footage and unreleased music, and we are finally ready to share this history with you. Love Left is Corey's
first
album.
Lolita, it's like a giant
tape. It came out in 1994. And since then, his music career has been picking up speed.
Oh,
in 2013, right. Corey's song Ascension Millennium was a breakthrough video on MTV.com.
I like that he's filming this in his Corey hole. He keeps showing like the walls and his weird merch he has.
MTV.com?
There's no way that was a hit on MTV.com.
Well, what? Again, maybe being a hit on MTV.com means nothing.
Yeah,
it's like
his billboard.
He specifically did not say MTV. He said MTV.com.
Like his billboard spot or whatever that he got.
Because maybe back in the day, YouTube didn't exist, so people would upload things to weird
This was like 2014. Because he was talking about Ascension Millennium.
I was just saying, because maybe, remember when there's like lots of boutique video sites?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there was like a reason why he could like eke out a weird little
thing. I
think
it was just on
MTV.com.
Headbanger's Ball for like 12 weeks.
Yeah, it was just number
Jimmy
one.
Jimmy Jasta every week was like, check out Corey. Unify!
Thumbed up. In 2016, Corey made charts and headlines again with his song Go For It featuring Snoop Dogg. Most recently,
dude, here they're going to pull up these fake charts
again.
They're
going to lie really quick.
I can't believe they would lie.
Top 20 on the Billboard charts.
Most
all
added.
This with no mainstream.
Notice the I'm not going to take it back. There was a 49 next to that. That's plays nationwide.
Record deal. There's no denying Corey Feldman is one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Uh-huh.
But how did he get into music? And what's his
I name? Want to see this Corey.
Oh, yeah, punk rock grunge
I
Corey?
I want Jane's Addiction Corey.
Rape you me, you never did.
Give me some fucking Pearl Jam.
Someone
Corey.
Else got raped.
You know what's great, though, is this footage here with him talking over it. You know if we heard the actual performance, he's going to be going, husband.
Yeah, we want we want Even Flow to be playing right there.
Yes.
But I guarantee Even Flow is not playing
there's
right
like,
there.
There's that... instrument that's like a magic wand where you're like,
oh, the theremin. Yeah, he's playing the
theremin. Yeah, I expect him to be like, give it away now, or some shit like that.
Yeah, he spins the guitar around his shoulders.
What's it all about? So let's talk to the man behind.
Corey's in like a hardcore band at the beginning.
Why would they have the sign not work?
Well, I think it's supposed to be like charming.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. He's got flaws. Like that,
do you think, even though he's Corey's assistant, Corey is also going to be on Zoom?
No. But I mean, maybe there are segments, but like I said, I skimmed through it, so I do know that he's in.
Okay.
Like, that would be hilarious.
Because I had a moment of clarity for a second there.
Yeah.
When did you realize you wanted to be a musician? You know, a lot of people don't understand this, but a lot of people.
Oh, no, it's just an emoji.
I say you turn it off.
No. Maybe.
It looks good here.
This is a very important thing. Okay?
Now, honestly, I do think this is the ideal Corey look.
But blonde.
Not blonde.
You hate the blonde.
Definitely not blonde. I'm just saying the black slick back hair. That's the way
I think it's too long. I think the hair's too long.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's maybe a little shorter, but I'm still saying, like, it's not the ridiculous circus long.
And Corey looks like Goku.
Yeah, maybe I'm being judgmental, but I don't think Corey should wear a dashiki. come out and say it.
Yeah, but he has a flat top fade, too.
Does it also have, like, mesh sleeves
or
something?
It does.
It ties up in the front. It's like a medieval goth.
It's a tunic. And how it came to fruition. Obviously,
it's not the tunic.
I grew up in a household with a father who was in a band, so there was always gigging. There was always
I like this like NES music
in and around the house. And
I mean, you know that's just Corey's music, right? Like, you know that's one of his songs.
No, I'm pretty sure that's a we've made this joke. I was gonna say a character select screen in an old PlayStation game.
Okay, in all seriousness, What are we watching?
Good one.
Come on, Joe. You know, we set this up. This is the documentary from the Love Left box set. I'm going to answer
it. Musicians over. So that was our natural way of life. Secondly, my sister,
being
3 years older than me, had become a recent cast member of the Mickey Mouse Club when I was 3 years old. She was 7. And that was my childhood, was being around
McDonald's commercial incoming,
performing live on stage all the time, and a sister who's performing live on stage.
Oh, he's got
all the time.
Oh, extra sleeves.
So I felt
nice.
Like it was obviously natural that I would eventually end up performing live on stage. That said, I didn't get paid to professionally sing until a few years later when I did a TV movie of the week with Dick Van Dyke called How to Eat Like a Child, which was,
you know what,
Obama.
Well, hold on. All right. You know the beauty of us is that.
Hey, $20 though.
Thank you. I'm sorry. There was no. I was waiting for. I didn't even look at the amount.
I know, yeah.
I was waiting for the super chat. Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you. For
you
the
can interrupt
super
with
chat.
Us with $20 any day.
But what's fun? The beauty of us is like. I'm like, yeah. We. I know.
Tell us the beauty of us.
I'm like, I know this story, Corey. Yeah. Yes, you were singing and dancing as a little baby, and then you did a TV movie with Dick Van Dyke.
Everyone knows.
We've
this.
Heard him talk, and he's so consistently always telling. The same story, the
which
same
is, that
way.
That means it's true, at least. Well, I mean, I guess you could verify it.
It's embedded in his psyche, at least. The good thing about this, though, this is a focused doc. We skipped the McDonald's commercial. We're just doing the musical part.
Yeah, we're just on music.
So I respect
that
about Ted Perry or whatever.
Well, and Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke, sneaky cool.
Sneaky cool?
He's sneaky cool.
Dick in his name and Dyke.
And yet he's super cool.
If he had a Dick and a Dyke in a van, that'd be a real pickle.
Yeah, and then we got no gas, no bacon, and
no job.
Are you trying to do the no
cash?
The no cash, no jobs,
yeah.
No
yeah,
hope.
What's the meme? Oh, yeah, Steve Jobs died, yeah. And
we
Bob
had a dick
Hope
and a dyke and a man in Wilder.
I'm going to protect Kevin Bacon with my life.
Skibbity toilet, Ohio, yeah. Riz, Riz, Mike.
We're actually going to finally see a clip of this, How to Eat Like a Child.
Yeah.
Broadcasted television special, the very first... album I was bought because I was super into them was Kiss, Love Gun. Shortly after that, my first solo music star that I started
really
digging and getting into.
Is it the same one?
Yeah, it's attached. I noticed that earlier when he was reaching it. Like, there's a hole like on the top of the arm, and then it reattaches like a gauntlet.
Oh, I said that earlier. We were talking about the
mesh. I saw the mesh on the shoulder.
Monetization back. You guys are more than deserved it.
Oh yeah, we're at
Jim
like 200.
And them forever era.
Thank you, Justice. Thank you for the super chat. But that's. I mean, I know it's common sense that he rips off Michael Jackson, but these are very Michael Jackson like loungewear, cash fits that he would be rocking.
I thought you liked Michael Jackson.
No, I do, but Obama. Michael Jackson could pull it off.
Did the Corys get their baby oil from P. Diddy?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he's at like $7 now, bro. Yeah. We gotta be sluts.
I forgot Sean how much Cassidy. I hated the DTS.
And
actually.
Then,
oh, 2-2.
At about 11 years old, my life changed.
It looks jaundiced.
I was sitting with my family in the living room one day, and there was this giant special that came on that they all wanted to watch
the
because
California
it was reminiscent
Raisins
of all
Christmas
their
special.
Because it was all these old fogies. And all these classic stars, and the special was called Motown 25. Halfway through the show, I believe.
Oh, he's gonna say the Moonwalk.
This band that I remembered because they were a bunch of kids, and it was called the Jackson.
Yeah, no, before Moonwalk.
The Jackson 5, and I remembered seeing their cartoon on reruns, and I was like, oh yeah, they were like a kids
they
band.
Had a cartoon?
Let's check them out. And all of a sudden, I saw Michael Jackson perform for the first time, and I saw Billie Jean.
Oh, he's really. Really, really downplaying the Jacksons as like a thing that ever. He's acting
no,
like.
No, you're right.
Like he's talking about the Jacksons. Like, imagine if the Beatles released Hard Day's Night and then disappeared for 20 years.
Well, no, because it's
way
even
he's
worse.
Talking about
I thought,
the Jacksons.
I thought he was talking because you were actually right, Jeff. He's
I thought
talking
he meant a
about,
live special.
He no, he what he is talking about the Moonwalk because he's saying that he just saw them do Billie Jean. But yeah, but he's acting like the Jackson 5 was not a huge thing.
Or like there's some old...
For quite a while.
The,
yeah.
the only
that.
Thing I'll give him is if he was a little kid, maybe he didn't know about them. And that's all he's trying to say. But not that he discovered them.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's the first...
That it changed his life.
You know what, fair enough. Maybe he's seeing
I didn't know they had a cartoon.
But he's not describing... He's describing all of... He's describing the Jackson 5 the same way he's describing a bunch of people that what he's saying actually applies to.
But I no, think he's I just guess, saying he didn't know about
I think
him.
He's saying it's the first time. I guess, yeah, to be fair, he's probably saying it's the first time he saw him perform. Like, he probably he knew of, oh, that's the kids group.
We'll give it to Corey.
Yeah, you got to give
For
it to him.
For the first time.
That could, no, we're always fair. There's yeah. one thing that even Corey Feldman himself would admit is that Jim and them are fair. Yeah. When it comes to me. They're fair.
Obama, it's Corey. You're fair.
Yeah. It's in his Yeah, you know what? I don't like what they say, but they're fair to me.
I'll defend to their death their right. To... He's like petitioning to get our channel back. We thought it was him, but it's really he's like,
no, I'm a free speech absolutist.
I hate when they go, but I love to watch them leave.
It's been Heather Dawn May the whole time canceling like the orders. He's been trying to send the orders. He's like, this is what we signed up for, Heather. I'm a freak. He's in an iron mask.
You know what? Fair enough. They're always fair.
9 5 minutes.
Because when I saw that
here it is,
out was
here
able
it is.
To copy Michael Jackson and get a number one hit.
Yes. This, see, what's great is he's like, you know, it was great to see Michael Jackson perform, but it wasn't until I saw Weird Al copy Michael Jackson did I understand there was a path for me.
I like how he copied a man who was copying a man.
Yeah.
This same picture, but you split down the middle, like then someone dies, and they always do that. Like half Corey, half
It goes black and white.
Yeah.
With the same song, well, that was it. This is a miracle.
I can't put my finger on it, but Corey's nose looks different for some reason. Why would his nose change so drastically?
Oh, yeah.
He had a big nose. One's like all like this now.
Now, hold on. We need to hear a little bit of what he's saying when I play it.
I started by writing parodies, and I took the model of what Weird Al Yankovic was doing to teach myself. I was going to this place called Recording Star, which was like a little karaoke spot where you could make tapes of yourself singing other people's music. The lights are on, but she's not home. Your will
Jeff.
Is not your role.
You're missing the best thing.
Now, we did kind of know that story. We did know he has tapes and tapes of covers. Now, was he doing a parody there, or was he just doing the song? What was that? What was that part?
It's impossible to know.
Yeah, who could ever know?
Who'd know?
Editing my own mixtapes, and that was my first, really my first record. Nobody knows this. This is the first time I'm revealing this. It wasn't even in my book, but my very first record.
This is actually Pete Corey. Look at the hair.
Sketch tapes.
This is actually what I meant. Yeah, this is the peak Corey look right
look
here.
Look at
the
that sweatshirt. It's a bunch of different tigers.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's all tigers.
He's craven.
It's
craven
a panoply of tigers.
No, but that's drippy, though. Like, yeah. That's something you could get away with.
I like my cheese drippy, bro. I like my cheese drippy.
We really are. Nothing but fair.
That's drippy, Mike. I like you got to admit drippy. It.
In Ohio? Skibbity?
I'm sick of you guys being ironic.
And Timothy Chalamet would wear that.
Yeah, and he was knighted by the bass god. In a video I remember seeing when I was a bass god guy, but didn't know. He wasn't
Chalamet's guy. Been in a Chalamet sense recently, by the way, as well. If I don't say so.
We almost made it to 6 minutes. Hold on one moment. It's that picture of like the little boys having a podcast that they always put like
yeah with the, like, when they're like in a deep discussion.
I keep seeing this on my reels and it's so funny. It's called like MC Foodies and they all have to be like 11 with like good equipment and they're like, oh, like I don't like any vegetables.
I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's
one.
Just like when you're going through.
Well, I haven't seen Little Kid Podcast image.
Little Kid Podcasts are so funny because they are like 10 and they're like talking like, yo, low key, onion slap. No, like, I'm not eating onions.
Weird.
And parody songs that I put together. God, I wish I had this. And I took one of my headshots, my 8x10s from when I was a little kid. So I'm like, you know, 10 years old, and I was leaning up against a motorcycle, and I've got my hair slicked back and greased. and I took my little 8x10 picture and I glued it in.
Did you see how it changed the shot? Oh, did you see that? Changed the shot three times almost.
It's like one of those hunting cams and like something's right up against the camera, like a bear is attacking a ring.
Like some sort of Jake Perry film.
Yeah, I love that Jake Perry's like, let's put a floor camera in for this Corey interview. Let's put a real close one.
Yeah, it's like punked.
Yeah, let's make sure we see what is that? Not Fruity Loops. That's in the background.
Oh,
there. The
Audacity? Like cracked version of Ableton.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it keeps popping up. It's like just a bye now.
But it's got tracks open on it. But it's just like the general demo one that when you open it up.
Well, that tracks open.
Cool.
It's like when someone takes a Scantron, like writes something on the Scantron. It's not like a real beat. You put a big C.
It looked like a Corey Feldman album. So
this is a good camera angle.
And show it to my friends and be like, yeah, I've got my own record. Yeah, I recorded it on and off.
This is not complimentary.
Look how different his nose is, though.
I say this all the time. He never looked good.
Nah.
He was a cute kid.
If this was like your bro, you were sipping a beer and he had like a half shirt on because it's the
80s. He was a cute kid.
I've been consistent with this. He was never a cute kid.
But you have impossible standards with guys. You're well known to have impossible guy standards.
But and then he grew up to look like an adult version of the goofy looking kid he had always been.
The only way he'd be like he was a cute kid is if he was some ripped Henry Cavill little kid. He'd be like, look at this cute little boy.
Yeah, it's what's the pull up Hercules? Baby Hercules.
Yeah.
That, remember that kid? Yeah. You're like, the only good kid is Baby Hercules. I'm sorry. The only good kid is a midget that
all
I thought
is
a baby.
He was a goofy looking little kid, a goofy looking like adolescent, a goofy looking teenager.
That McDonald's, like I said, hey, they're fair. In that McDonald's commercial, he's a cute kid in that.
I think he's been I think he's been super goofy looking forever.
He's not like any and in Gremlins, he's just like he looks like
Obama.
Goblin's teeth, holy shit, LOL.
Yeah, thank you, GK.
Yeah, but what about Friday the 13th when he's looking at the girl through the window and he's like...
Gremlins, he looks like the classic quintessential Midwestern neighbor
kid. The burbs,
he doesn't
hot.
Look ugly or goofy.
I think he's goofy
I'm not saying like he looks like cute or anything, but like he just looks like the classic neighbor kid that's coming by.
I think he's always
you.
Looked goofy.
No, because you have impossible standards.
Corey in the Lost Boys is hot as fuck. You don't think Corey's hot in the Lost Boys?
No.
What the hell?
For that Mike? Time, he was a hunky boy though.
Yeah. Lost Boys, the Burbs.
No, he
I
was
love
his,
this town.
He was his version of like girls that think like that the goofy looking Doctor Who actors are
now,
cute.
Now, in your defense, like this picture, he looks like a goofy ass. It's like it's almost like they're negging him by cutting to this close-up zoom on this shot.
Obama.
I got nothing. Short people make me angry.
Wait, Joe, who's short? Corey?
Who's Joe?
Oh, Corey's short. That's Deep Thoughts with Joe.
He's good at the DTS. He's really good at it.
Starting at 15 with Runaway, which I recorded while I was still living at my dad's.
This video I've been meaning to watch, this video, Runaway, is fucking wild. I mean, this is clips from it right here.
Well, it looks like a Talking like Heads video, but with Corey in it.
The video for it there. But while I was still living at my dad's, while I was working on Lost Boys, that's when I wrote Runaway, right before I ran away.
That it's dangerous for a kid to be out on his own. He could have nowhere to sleep or end up in a scary place.
I mean, it's crazy, really, if you think about how...
Honestly, the saturation... I mean, I don't mean to be so nitpicky on, like, the production, but, like, the saturation... Like, the color saturation is a wild choice.
It's color-graded poorly. Yeah. There's no white balance.
The point that video really is, because it's a moment in time. It's a time capsule. And it's a very powerful time capsule. The concept of Runaway...
Okay, yeah.
Coming from the perspective of a kid who was very abused.
The concept.
This was my fantasy.
He looks good there.
No, he doesn't. It's like a goofy weirdo. If you knew that kid in school, you'd be like, ugh, let's bully him.
If I knew that kid in school, I'd be like, I have a brother.
Hello, folks. High in Los Angeles, homeless kids everywhere, or something like that. It pulls back to reveal.
It's weird because this is this. I don't mean to keep doing this.
Here's the thing. No, it's fine. We need to stop pretending we're not going to do this. We need to own it.
This is what they want.
Because
the
all
the
we're
people
doing...
that say they don't want this aren't our fans.
No. I'm not even talking about pausing it. No. I don't mean to keep harping on the production. What I was going to say is it's wild that this is the same
room
interview.
Yeah.
But it looks like color wise, it's like a security camera maybe or something.
Yeah. No.
I'm fine with pausing it. I just meant like. Harping on the color grading.
Well,
and the
I'm
matching.
Also fine with pausing this. This shirt pause. Yeah. Ayo. Do you know that they have pause merch from that show?
Damn it!
Cameron?
I was just saying I'm fine with dicks in my mouth. Pause.
Like every we could have big pause hats on the whole
Wouldn't
time.
You just pause someone for wearing a pause shirt though?
No, because that's
you're
a,
gonna wear
that's
clothes a, that a guy made.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's like pre-stampsies or whatever. You can't triple stamp a double stamp or whatever.
Yeah.
What?
You can't triple tip stamp a double stamp.
It's literally like walking around with a shirt that says, I'm not gay.
We have gay dudes rock.
Yeah.
That's kind of our version of that. Or gay dudes.
Well,
actually.
We have both. Like, gay dudes rock and gay dudes.
I need a gay dudes big trucker hat.
Well, we have, do we even have a dudes rock one too or no?
No.
Damn, you'd think we'd have a dudes rock shirt.
No, we just have gay dudes. You could like, you put duct tape over the gay part like when they put it over brands and music videos.
Man's hand enters the frame, my friend Majestic.
That's a guy in
blackface. Playing the character of the killer pimp. And the kid was laying on
the one black guy's the pimp, huh?
And he says, hey, what are you doing here? You know, you're a perfectly good white boy.
What are you filming
this
for?
You're better than this kid. And then it cuts to black. And then this homeless kid turns into this rock star and he's wearing all black. He's got long, flowing hair.
Japanese dances.
You know, he looks like a rock
star. He turns
star.
Into a rock star, then he dances like he's on Broadway.
Dance. And, you know, now they've all been zombified into this trance where they have to dance.
What is this? What is that?
Jim,
trance.
Did you do that?
No.
That was an intentional cut?
That's in the movie.
Yeah, it was good. That's like that. It's a
song and dance. And, you know, now they've all been zombified into this trance.
That's in the video for sure. That's how they did it. Because they're doing Thriller in a the space between, what do they call that? The back doors.
It basically is they're doing Thriller and Beat It mixed together because it's supposed to be like a street fight turned people are zombified now.
Yeah.
This guy just
take
came
out, Weird Al.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you think you got skills, Weird Al?
You know what happened is this guy came to sell Corey Coke. They all started doing Coke, and he's like, do you want to be in my music video? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Sure thing. Majestic.
Yeah. And then all Corey's friends and him did Coke.
Have to dance and talk about the fact that
is that a lady?
This big sex trafficking
in the red
ring, which has been basically created with kids on crack that are runaways. So that was the theme. The kid who everybody called uncoordinated. I couldn't play sports. I had no athletic abilities.
Telling the truth.
What do you mean? You're an award-winning artist since three.
I was always the guy on the bench.
He's always in the black parade.
Always the last pick.
That's
kind of a vibe.
That's what the worst.
That's vibey.
That is vibey.
That's drip.
I mean this. This is maybe the worst look I've ever seen. No.
Finally, can you dump the slime on Mike?
This is a historically bad look.
I think he needs the goatee back. I feel that's missing.
He's got a fucking Sergeant Pepper jacket with a Milwaukee.
Lose the jacket, Mike. That's the singer of your
Milwaukee
favorite
twin
band.
Shirt and a giant necklace
and
but
a
then
big
a, but
the
then a
hat you're wearing
but then also a goatee
yeah that, like I said you remove the jacket he's singing in your favorite band
this That's is a true. Historically
like,
bad look
he's easy core but he's also Black Parade
you don't
dude.
Know what easy core people
I know
look
what,
like
yeah dude that it's been that shit around.
Yeah, he looks like he's in, 10 Years Strong? What's the name of that band?
Yeah, he's in 10 Years Strong. He's in Turnstile.
He's the bass player.
All the easy core bands. He's in Death Cab for Cutie. Well, was he
in my favorite easy core band, fucking Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, was he in the Postal Service? I'm sorry, I mailed that one in.
He's ahead of his time right here, though.
This is a bafflingly bad
one. I don't
know
how old he is here, honestly. He could be 40. He could be 10.
I mean, it's old based off the people around him.
Yeah.
It's like Cyndi Lauper's there or something.
This is astonishing.
Oh, is that Shawn Michaels behind him?
Yeah.
And Cyndi Lauper?
Uh-huh.
This would work.
Yeah. you're wearing a director's hat.
He needs the goatee back.
You're doing the head like, oh wow. Whoa. That when this is what the director of The Birthday saw. I saw that one pic.
But something about watching the magic of Michael Jackson's performance and the way he moved and the flow and the groove and the beat and
yeah, nailed it.
Everything about it inspired me to the point where I said,
you're a fucking fan.
He's like, you shit on Corey. He's whispering
when
in his
we
ear.
Were kids, like, I mean, like, kids,
I know it's so obvious, like everyone points it out.
Yeah.
But like, it's one thing to be a kid and to copy Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be in your 50s and like you're still exactly. doing it. It's so bizarre.
Like, I have videos. Yeah.
I know this is like the basis of every discussion.
Yeah, it's about Corey level Feldman, one, but it's but still like, it holds truth.
Why? Yeah. What is that about?
Because I have videos of me as a little kid, like wearing sunglasses and playing like a tennis racket along to like Billy Idol or whatever. Like, because I'm a little kid listening to music and be like, look, I'm the guy. But if I was to this day, like going out and performing shows, and I had like the spiky blonde hair like Billy Idol, and I was wearing fingerless gloves like Billy Idol, and I was like going out and doing the lips like everyone would be like, look at this fucking loser. Look at this sad
and
loser.
And if you were an actual artist, you would start out like this, and then you would start to like other things, and then you would mix them together. You wouldn't just forever Michael Jackson. But again, he's Weird Al. He said it himself. So
that's true.
He's never listened to any other music. He saw that Motown.
Why is Corey going straight to hell? So that's cool.
Deep thoughts, rocks.
Yeah, he is.
Deep thoughts.
It is cool he's going straight to hell.
I like that he pays us every time he says these stuff. And then I'm like, good stuff. Have a fucking cookie, bitch.
I love these cookies. Your mom's cookies are fucking awesome.
Yeah, my mom baked Christmas cookies. If you guys want to come over and chat, deep thoughts. Cookie looking fat.
But, I mean, well, back to what you were saying, though. Yeah, you mix it all up into a cosmic gumbo, and you make your own thing out of it.
That's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, you mix it up into a cosmic gumbo.
A cosmic gumbo?
It's like even artists that are like an established... I mean, again, we mentioned the Beatles earlier. The Beatles don't sound like the Beatles even like 5 years after.
Well, they weren't even a band for 5 years. Yeah. That's how much they changed.
Yeah. Bands like you listen to like early Aerosmith and they are like a bluesy band.
You listen to Four Year Strong, your boys.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is that the one I'm thinking of? What's the other one? Not 4 Year Strong. What's the other one that's like completely different now?
Oh, like Set Your Goals?
No.
Newfound Glory?
Forget it.
Okay.
That's an easy core band.
But there are lots of bands that even just throughout their like careers, they slowly change, and it's because they're an artist and they're growing. And whether you like that change or not, doesn't matter. You watch it happen because they actually have like a process and a thought behind their art. Corey doesn't even know how to do that because he's creatively bankrupt when it comes to the music. So he can't even like grow because there's nothing there to begin with.
But on the other hand, I get it to an extent. I mean, I catch myself on Amazon looking at not the zombie Thriller jacket, but the Thriller Letterman jacket that he wears in the beginning, and
I've almost gotten you that for Christmas.
I could get
times.
That jacket.
Yes.
But I don't get the zombie red jacket because that's too far.
Yeah, I've also almost gotten that.
We all thought about the Drive jacket. We all looked at the Drive jacket.
Yes. But I thought you owned the Shenmue jacket
that I spent quite a bit of money on. It's too warm for Vegas, but yes, that's different though. That's a deep enough cut. Like Jim is getting the jersey. What?
I feel like this is good Shenmue weather right now.
I know. I should bust out the Shenmue weather and try to find out where Chinese sailors are going.
Yeah, I wore my leather jacket tonight.
What do you know about Corey Feldman? What do you know about deep thoughts?
Trying to emulate Michael Jackson, and of course.
Oh, but actually, going back to what you're saying too, it is hilarious that the missing key that we figured out. It's not so much that he's trying to be Michael Jackson; he's trying to be Weird Al as Michael Jackson.
Yes.
But like, he just stopped at that Weird Al. Like, he never saw that Weird Al did other stuff. He's like, oh yeah, Weird Al did Michael Jackson. I'm that guy.
he's holding up a tape of Weird Al, which is weirdly that's like how me as a little kid like first heard Nirvana and stuff. Like, I didn't hear like I was like this song rocks, and like listen to that for like years before I heard Nirvana.
Obama.
Also, this guy looks.
We hate Corey here in the UK too. It's worldwide, LOL.
Ooh, that one came in pounds.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Miss Dog
I don't want
to
judge a book by its cover, but I don't know if this guy's like a big musician or whatever.
Yeah, you mean childhood friend Mark Harris?
Well, childhood friend slash musician.
Slash cowboy super fan.
Cowboy
well,
super
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, I love that he's like, time to do a talking head thing. Better put on my motorcycle jacket and two pieces of Cowboys merch.
Yeah, I'm a rocker.
Yeah, musician.
Corey did the best. I want to create those beats. I want to create something that makes you move. I want to create stuff.
Yeah, super zoom in.
That you cannot.
Look at those lack of lips. Yeah,
oh,
fuck yeah.
You cannot prevent yourself.
Come over here, Jim.
Slave to the rhythm. It just
it's like kissing Corey.
Oh my God, Jake, what are you doing?
He is focusing on the lips, like the eyes are. That's a hot Corey.
Yeah, that's a good hot one.
Corey. You guys are fucking
that's
insane.
That's a hot one.
Yeah. Ooh. A little hip shaky shaky.
He did the Riz face. Wait, bring it back. Bring it back.
No, no way. Did he?
He did the Riz twice.
He hit him double Riz. He was mewing. He's mewing.
Watch. Oh, yeah.
I've never seen this movie in my life.
We talk about this every time. None of us have seen it.
This whole movie, I'm like,
right, I thought we watched it.
No, we didn't watch Dream a Little Dream.
What did we watch?
We License to Dream
a Little Dream. Oh, yeah. License to Dream.
The song, did it with Michael Damian. He was great.
We got together and we were recording some stuff together.
This guy's
and
an artist.
Time, and I just know his love.
Well, he has a piano in his house for a real reason.
Yeah, he has a piano in his studio apartment.
And this guy's a sex pest for sure. Look how close he is on the mic. He's an ancient couch.
Evident. And it was one of those mutual things.
We were all excited for that. We shot the video for Rock On.
Trying to coordinate an album and a soundtrack around a movie release is like a juggling act. And Rock On really wasn't supposed to be one of the lead singles.
He just cover
and
rock and roll?
I started going out and doing...
Yeah,
you know,
it sounds like
shows
it.
To promote it. So we knew that the Dream a Little Dream soundtrack was going to be a big soundtrack. I had heard Rock On. It was going to be a great single.
Hey, kids, rock and roll.
That's a
banger. Rock on.
The only problem is we've pre-recorded.
Yeah, this is where it all... People always reference this scene when he was dancing around in the gym or whatever.
He wishes he was Heath Ledger.
That's insane.
In 10 things I hate about you.
And the girl he's waving to, that's Patton Oswalt's new wife after he killed his other wife.
Oh, really?
Wife.
She's hot.
All the music for the scenes because we had to do that first. And that's actually going to be Mickey Thomas
that's part
from
of
Starship.
It?
And so he's going to be the one that you're going to be lip-syncing as you do this scene. I'm like, no, I can't be lip-syncing. You know, I've got to sing for real. If I'm lip-syncing, people are going to think that I can't sing.
Oh, man, you know, watching Corey lip-sync to my song while he's doing a dance is...
watching,
you know,
Corey lip sync to my song.
Yeah, it's a dream come true.
For me, the guy from Starship.
Yeah, you know what?
Do you remember me from the rockin'? They have the rock song that's so bad.
Guy
I can't
with the Jerry curls spread Corey's cheeks.
Chet Martin,
are you? I think you're behind. I think you're behind Chet. But yes, that guy with the Jerry curl, he did.
Obama.
Guy with the Jerry curls spread Corey's cheeks.
DTS is great.
I like DTS.
Fuck, now I forget what I was going to say.
I can't think of the song from Star.
Why, Jim? What ruined your train of thought,
Jim? We built this. Yeah, it's that guy. He made one of the dumbest songs of all time.
Always brings a smile to my face.
Although, have you ever heard the My Dick's All Shitty version?
My Dick's All Shitty. Is that for the same guys that brought us a piece of ass?
No, it's from one of the Opie and Anthony songs.
My Dick's Too Shitty.
My Dick's All Shitty from... You know what? We got to hear that real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, Mike?
Yeah.
We got to hear that.
Yeah, pull it up. resume it. Remember Kodak Black on the floor? Resume it. Resume the video.
Although, I wonder, maybe YouTube's buried it. Oh, no, here it is.
Yeah, they're trying to shadow ban it. Dicks, dude.
My dick's all shitty.
So play Corey dancing, you can just have him dance.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it back a little bit.
Wait, hold on.
My dick's all shitty from your
Who but Jim and them? Who but Stank?
Me,
You remember this, Mike?
Sounds better than Corey Feldman's music.
Of course I don't.
Why don't you like my dick so shitty? You're like Corey by me.
I'm not a big dirty parody guy.
What do you mean?
Oh, we're really listening to a lot of this, huh?
Well, yeah, we gotta get the chorus one more time.
We saw it tied in. We saw the guy.
From your asshole. All right, all right. All right, you get it. Whoops.
Oh, we started over.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I heard my dick so shitty. I was like, wow.
I can do that?
Opie and Anthony.
That was great.
That's how a man can become the king of entertainment?
I love Stuttery John.
Oh, sidebar. At my call, I do travel agency, basically. Some 7-year-old stand-up comedian was shitting on all the comedians he worked with, and then he said some stuttering character, apparently, that was on Howard Stern. And I was like, oh, Stuttering John. He's like, oh, no, I know Stuttering John. He's a great guy. I was like, what? And he had this one name. It's just a normal name. And I was like, oh, where could I see your stand-up or whatever? He's like, oh, you look me up under Tony Viagra. He was shitting on, like, Doug Stanhope. I'm like, yeah, this guy's probably good. Tony Viagra. Anyway, sidebar, back to my dick's so shitty from your ass.
Save that name in case I need to come up with a new D&D character.
Tony Viagra. He's 75 years old.
Riding out of the mist on a magnificent steed comes a man in heavy plate armor and a magnificent shield. Hi, I'm Tony Viagra.
Nice to beat my meat to you.
Paladin of Cord. I'm here to beat my meat to
that,
you.
Let me take that again. Nice to beat my meat to you. All right, good. We'll use
drop
that one.
In.
We'll use that. Cut the other stuff. We could be like an LA pod. We're like, we'll cut that.
Lead single. I was like, no way. As soon as I heard that, I went and booked
a Kids' Choice Awards.
We did the Magic Mountain shows.
We played shows for Roxy.
We're on a magical hill.
Corey Feldman came with Bubbles once. Michael Jackson's Chimp and actually performed with the Chimp.
Okay.
Really?
And I remember a couple times that he had Bubbles.
I don't know how he got the Chimp. I guess he called Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson loaned Bubbles to Corey. Corey shows up with the Chimp, and it was a great surprise. The kids loved it.
That's a shitload of vape smoke.
Yeah,
for your own documentary, just
he's vaping.
Give it a second and
it's
fucking.
Weed.
Well, I think they're doing a bit though. Like he's like stoned, man.
Yeah,
and he's like trying to remember. I was with Bubbles, man.
That's me. Thing, man.
I do think they're doing a bit.
Bubbles not here, man. Oh, Babna.
Bubbles and I remember. Like I really don't remember this stuff at all.
I hit him up for an interview. He declined though.
Who, Bubbles?
Yeah.
He is high. That's real weird.
Yeah, no, they're awards, doing a goof.
First performance, me and Mark Harris.
Kids went nuts. They wanted to pull Corey into the audience.
Oh, is he clowning them?
I don't know if you actually see it's Mark weird. Harris on the video footage at all, but he was there on stage playing drums somewhere. I don't know. Why? Since they obviously didn't have the drums.
No one knows
maybe
who
they
that is. You don't have to lie.
I don't remember. I think we did do a sound check even.
These were plastic drums, man. No one plays on plastic
drums.
Oh,
that was his
but when you're
I'm glad this is included in the documentary,
dude,
this section right here.
Well, no.
They're talking about whether or not this guy we've never heard of played drums or not.
But that's great. This is bits on bits on bits because mm-hmm. they started with the bit about the Bubbles and now they're doing like, now they're showing us why Mark Harris is in the documentary because he's like, yeah, Mark Harris was there. You can't even see him on stage, but he was performing.
Plastic drums.
A very charming guest host, Mr. Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen. Corey!
Oh, actually, Kevin in the chat. Yeah, Corey's shitting on the drummer still. So always,
that's true.
Always
that's
shitting
consistent.
On his drummer.
He asked me to host his show Improv Tonight.
He's got the invisible
dance.
Rope. Invisible
That's our
rope.
Dance.
Dude, he's been doing this bad dance for so long.
We love that one.
A very charming guest host, Mr. Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen.
But these cookies are so good, Jeff.
Yeah.
So Bud had asked me host his show Improv Tonight. I think that was a big
Where's
mistake.
He going? There he is.
Because I think that if I hadn't...
Hitler salute.
Why is he doing this on an improv
That's
show?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, this is him at like a stand-up show, basically.
That literally, it literally looks like he's like clearing out the pit. Like, let's get the get it, open it up, open it up.
So for a second there, I thought I was looking at Tony Viagra. A young Tony Viagra.
Yeah.
Let me see. Do you think he's going to do a comedy segment here when he gets to the mic? Or are they going to cut away? They're not even going to show us.
If he sings a song, does that count as doing a comedy segment?
Yeah. No. I want to see if he does
a bit. My dick's too shitty.
Done that. You know, people probably would have taken my music a lot more seriously.
Oh, no, you're right. He does do a song.
But it didn't really make a lot of sense to premiere my music on a comedy show. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I wish a lot of people knew that.
Really
in hindsight,
go
also
on an open mic list.
So then I followed it up with the Howard Stern show. I really needed to make things right.
You know how people are like, man, hindsight's 2020. I feel like in this situation, foresight also should have been 2020.
People confused about
he was blowing
what I was
ounces of piff.
And that is why that song has become infamous. So after all of that, we missed the deadline for delivery by like 24 hours, according to the label. So we have it in time to put it out for the lead single. We just don't have it in time to make the actual soundtrack album.
So okay, so you fucked it up because you retarded?
On the soundtrack album, but the vinyl singles did actually come out. And that's
this
why
is just classic,
while,
like,
you will be
Corey
able to
over-explaining something that doesn't really matter to anyone, but he's been thinking about for, like, 30 years, so it's really important to him to clarify this useless detail.
Well, this is interesting in the way, like, remember when Apple dropped the Beatles doc, and it's just, like, hours of them just hanging? Like, that's we're 12 minutes in. That's, like, kind of what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of telling a story, but, yeah, you're right. It's also... It's constantly explaining incompetence. Like, so then this didn't happen, and then we didn't put the song out. It's always a fucking, like, what are those, like, Rube Goldberg machines? It's always like a calamity of events that, set up the reason why the music didn't work.
Well, because, like, a fun story behind the scenes of a movie is, like, how an iconic line wasn't in the script. Or, like... so-and-so visited the set that day, and so they're an extra. If you look really closely, what a fun story isn't is, like, you explaining how long it took for the lighting to get ready a certain day, and then because that lighting took forever, there's always been a weird shadow over your left leg that you don't love, and you're like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, unless you're an insane narcissist. And you can't have any flaws.
That's
then you
true.
Do that. I like that Kill the Hive Mind just joined, and the first thing he's like, bah, look at him. He says, yeah, if you join the middle, it doesn't matter.
Get a load of him.
Yeah, get a load of this guy. It's actually kind of the most normal he's looked.
Yeah.
Singles, which we are going to include, of course, a picture of so everybody can see for themselves that it did.
Look, he's like, he's trying to prove us wrong. Like, see, I told you. Here's
That's
a picture
so
of the record.
Again, why?
Well, because this haunts
does this matter
him.
To anyone?
No,
what?
This is huge because his single didn't come out and this ruined his whole career because it didn't come out at this is first big break.
This is also an extension of his drummer interview where everything he's ever done is always to prove that he's been doing music this whole time.
Well,
and it's like, we don't care. We still don't care.
It sounds like,
but we talk about it every week.
you know the saying, don't let perfect be the enemy of good? I think that's the saying.
Mm.
I think that Corey is the epitome of that, where he is striving for, and I'm not saying he's capable of it. That's actually why he can't obtain it, but he is striving for perfection in his eyes. And that's why he acts the way he acts. Is in his brain, he sees this thing that is impossible to attain. And since he can't attain it, he's constantly like having to trace things back to figure out why it didn't work out, and thus ruining what maybe little bit of good might have existed in the things he's trying to create.
Well, yeah, but he's also not even striving for, like, he's striving for like an image of perfection.
Yes.
Like, let passable be the enemy of like the terrible shit you're putting out.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why he's like, well, I'm going to, I got all these plates spinning, but what if I spin another plate? And then, also don't let be the enemy or perfection be the enemy of good or whatever you said on there. We got 200 in the chat and 100 likes. What's going on? Come on.
That's good.
Nice segue. No, that is good.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
We love it. We appreciate it.
Michael Strupp's like, we're, like philosophy stuff, but it's in regards to Corey. You said, you was like, what did you use the other day? Like a, something of riches, but it was like in...
Oh, an embarrassment of riches?
Embarrassment of riches. I'm like, this is like you're a samurai. talking about. I forget what you just said.
I said, don't let perfection be the enemy of good.
Yeah, you're like, Mr. Miyagi, but we're talking about... He sat on his album and couldn't find it, and then he missed the deadline by 24 hours. Complete lie. Like,
oh yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't blame the drummer.
Question of the day. How many Hollywood elites have spread Corey's cheeks through the years?
Yes.
None.
Yes.
Well, no one. No, yeah. By his own admission, none, because one guy tried to blow him, but he woke up and threatened to kill him.
Chased him out. Chased him down the street. If he's to be believed, which I've always believed.
Based off his movie, anyways. Based off the My Truth film.
Basically exist. And there are still copies out there that can be found if you scour the internet, as some obsessed fans might do.
Oh my God! Look at his shirt. Look at his hoodie or whatever.
I like that. What he did was like, I don't have anything from that. Why don't I grab my camera and my mount, run in the bathroom really quick,
his front door
behind the camera, then film this, and then I'll put it right in the dock right then.
That's Hollywood magic, baby.
Yeah,
we're doing bits. I love all the bits they're doing.
Yeah,
exploring psychedelic writing. In the idea and the vein of Pink Floyd. So that is where I started with John Preston.
Boom. Yeah. Second we talked about music, that was it. That connected us right there.
John was very influential.
Didn't he do like a Pink Floyd song, like Wish You Were Here at his birthday? I feel like he did wish.
Yeah, there's definitely videos of him performing Pink Floyd. And I think he always goes to like shows and stuff like that. He loves Pink Floyd.
Stink Floyd.
George Floyd.
Yeah, Stink Floyd. That's what I'm saying.
And getting my copyright and my publishing started. So if it wasn't for John Preston, who knows if I would have ever even started writing professionally. But what?
All right. We build a time machine. We go and murder John Preston.
Yeah.
Before he gets
arrested for being
Corey Feldman to get publishing and contracts and encourage him to be a music writer.
Yeah, but Jim, then we'll come back and we'll have no TTS. I love it.
Corey sticks with the acting, gets on the straight and narrow. He has a reconnaissance.
Yes. He's in Birdman instead of Michael Keaton.
He has a reconnaissance.
A Feldmanaissance. Actually, 2020
Feldmanaissance better be the name of this episode, Jim.
2024 was a Feldmanaissance, if you ask me.
What happened was I linked up with John, who was another teenage actor.
I was drawn to Corey, and I think he was drawn to me because of the fact that we knew that we wanted to collaborate on something. He had the drive.
I had this big old head, you know.
Inspired.
Took my big head
to get more and more into music. As much as he was a creative artist on screen. His behind-the-screen creativity was even bigger.
And along with that, there was a third song we wrote. Oh, there was four songs, I think, we wrote all together.
Ugh.
The first one was called Life is Like Living in a Fishbowl. And we actually performed that song live at my very first full-length concert, which was at the Palace.
Life is Like Living in a Fishbowl was kind of his perception on life in general as
a
celebrity.
Fishbowl went out of limbo. You know that's what it is.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
looking at me. Everybody looking for me. When I find my fishbowl,
walking
on my feet.
Oh, who's
gonna
feed the fish?
Fishbowl,
who will feed the fish?
Can we? I guess they'll play it in a second, probably. But I kind of want.
Dude, I bet you they don't even play it.
Everybody looking at me. Everybody shouting at me. Why are you a fish?
I bet you we don't even get to hear it. That gem, that lost gem lost to time.
Yeah, because he was 10 minutes late, and then they burned the master for some reason.
Yeah,
everyone's got you under a microscope. Everything you do is critiqued, and everybody wants a piece of you.
So anyway, the song Life is Like Living in a Fishbowl had words that said, the main chorus was, life is like living in a fishbowl.
Oh!
Demo. We never released the song.
It was too emo.
I like how he
said
to
he lost it. He said he lost the demo, just like.
Of course he did. But
I was
also
driving with the demo, and my moped got hit. I fell down the sewer.
I like how he had to explain how the song went, but he gave us nothing outside of the title that we already knew and assumed were part of the song.
Because they tasked him with writing it. He procrastinated. He didn't write it. That's why it didn't get released. All I did was go into the studio and go, "Life is like a fishbowl." Like, all right, get out of here, Corey. I'm Rick Rubin.
The lyrics from that song, and actually used them in a couple other songs.
Life, oh, like fish. The joke. Yeah.
Kinda.
You nailed it, dude.
He's like Nine Inch Nails there for some reason. Was
he's
that
got a big old gun
era?
Hanging out?
That was his mid era.
That was. There's been a plethora of looks that are on a high note.
Yeah.
That was a low note. That I've was a rare L for note. This documentary.
He literally just saw.
That was a rare look L for this.
Dude, look at him. Yeah, he straight up saw Nine Inch Nails for the first time. Yeah. He's like, guess who's Nine Inch Nails? His gun.
You're famous, you feel like you're literally in a fishbowl. And John and I shared that experience because we would go out in public to places like, you know,
I love
Magic
that they
Mountain,
show footage of him 15 years before he did that song.
Yeah.
Like, when you're famous.
I like that it cut to his actor friend who explained what it was about, and then it cuts to Corey and he just said the same exact thing.
Well, and also they're explaining what the song Living in a Fishbowl is about, and yeah. their explanation is that it's like how people are looking at you like in a fishbowl. It's not like they explain what, like, arcane phenomenon. So the song Arcane Phenomenon, what that's really about. Like
Arcane Phenomenon.
What, they're explaining what living in a fishbowl is about. It's like,
You'd even give it,
what
you'd
could
give
it be?
You'd give it more credence if it was just called fishbowl.
Yes.
And then they had to be like, well, you know, when we mean, it's like living, but no, it's all right there.
You don't need to explain. If I have a song called I'm Starving, Give Me a Sandwich, I don't have to be like, so when I wrote the song, I was really hungry and I wanted someone to bring me not fried chicken, not spaghetti. I wanted a sandwich at the time.
It's so, like living.
You know, he was a teen star.
In a fishbowl.
Teen magazine, so he got it.
Corey was on two ends of the spectrum. He was from everything from Michael Jackson
to retarded
to Weird Al.
This is going to be the title track of my new album. I'm performing it tomorrow.
Corey Feldman was everything from Michael Jackson to when Weird Al dresses up as Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
It's called The Kid.
Kiss 96.
Well, there's a new kid in town. Why is it not changed? Why is the music not changed?
That was a new voice, though, kind of.
No, but it's still the same, like, the cadence, when he set that up, I knew exactly how the song was going to go.
The beginning of a song,
instruments that are two tiers lower than professional quality, because it's like a Casio that, like, a child would have.
Has no depth to it. It's like
spend $200 more, Corey. And he's like, no!
No one's
from
better
where?
At the like, sucker punch meow, of the beginning
meow,
of a
meow,
song.
Meow, 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 meow.
Here's the cat keyboard. Whoa, this is like a different vibe.
That did change up to a little bit of a different vibe.
Word up. It was a word up vibe.
Oh shit, who's that in the background? Is that the director of License to Fly?
I think it's Smaller Corey's twin.
Runaway was the very first recording. The very second
he's
recording.
He's fucked. Dude, look at him.
It looks like he's really pissed off,
too. He's
been
arguing, and he's on coke.
He's yelling at Jake Perry like, no, Runaway was first. Then it was In Your Eyes.
I love that we've seen this
you
background.
You say you're a super fan, right? So get it right!
We've seen this exact angle 1,000 times during his cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Because
this
is exactly where he stands with that exact background.
Yeah.
That other guy's just pretending to do something on the computer so he won't yell at him.
Yeah, this is in the lab, dude. He's up in the lab right now.
In the lab with my workout equipment.
Like, how many fucking tambourines do you have? Look at the bottom right corner.
Yeah,
it's like
seven
tambourines.
Well, you don't want to have the same tambourine. They're different octaves.
He's got an Olympics logo of tambourines hanging out.
Jesus Christ.
And then before I did any other... Oh, wait, and
yeah, but what instruments do hot girls play? That's actually smart. You bring a bunch of hot girls down. You want to jam out? Here, you all hold tambourines, you dumb sluts.
Yeah, woo!
I'm in Corey's Angels.
Which was the one I wrote with Michael Jackson that I recorded with Michael Damian. Michael Damian and the Wheel.
You should have done it the other way around. I think that might have been smarter.
He's really sleepy.
I was just about to say, like, wait, what?
He's really sleepy. Don't use this footage.
That one will probably never be found. And shortly after I recorded that version of It's a Simple, yeah! and those other early songs with John Preston, right around that time I got into a band with Corey.
I like his masked Abe Lincoln photo. It's Abe Lincoln in a mask in the bottom left.
And it's like pixel art, too.
I know. That's just his timeshare.
I think it's a photo collage.
Oh, he has a burger picture behind him. This guy fucking stinks.
Around 1988, 1989. And he had a band called Then Again, and Corky was a semi-regular on Silver Spoons. So I'd written It So Simple earlier.
This is like for the super fans. Mike, you.
Made for us, yeah.
License to Drive, and I started dating a girl. She was the date of the guy that was cheating on Heather Graham. So that girl was a Playboy model.
Oh, yeah, we've seen this.
And I started dating her when I was, you know.
Was she the first angel?
At the time. But I started dating her.
Yeah.
And she broke my
Corey
heart.
Sucks she ass. He had Heather Graham right and there, and he dated the Playboy model
room.
Lady.
It was like the day that I, you know, decided I was going to have to break up with her, and I was very depressed.
He broke up with her?
And I started.
Did Corey? Like we've been telling you for an hour, Mike. Corey was a hunk.
No, but just you can say that all you want. Doesn't
but he
mean
was
it's true.
He's got the numbers to prove
you
it.
You don't have to be handsome to be popular. I don't deny that he was popular, but he was never a hunk.
You got
to
be a little handsome to be popular, Mike.
You got to be dumb if you want to be tough.
Why do we hurt each other? Why do people hurt each other? And why?
Why do people hurt
each other?
So that's how I wrote the song. How do people hurt parentheses each other?
Starving people, why can't we just give a little more, just care a little more? And I think it was self-introspective that brought me to that, but at the end of the day, it came with a great message. It's So Simple actually started in the TV movie.
All right, I'm making the movie myself now. Where's my phone?
They're about to sing the song. Why do we hear it?
There's a delay, so it's clear this is from like a TikTok, and that Jake guy just like grabbed
it. No, that's a TV. He's filming, I think.
I'm making the film now. You're messing it up, Jake.
Meaning getting straight with Drew Barrymore.
It's so simple.
No, it's so simple. He performs that to this day still.
And her and I sang that 15 song together.
To get it straight.
And then Alfonso Ribeiro and I sang that song together. And
here's your Zoom footage you're talking about.
No, dude, that's definitely from a TikTok.
That's what I was saying. Yeah,
I'm sorry, not even a TikTok. That's from a Cameo, I think.
Ah,
because you know how sometimes he'll ramble in a Cameo.
What?
He made the director buy cameos for interviews.
Wait, who was singing there?
Maybe Alfonso?
I hope that's not Alfonso.
I think it
that
is.
Might be.
Sounds like a young white girl.
I think it. I mean, I'm going by the filmmaking choice, but then maybe I'm giving too much credit because they're showing his picture.
He tried to go into the studio and tap into different levels of creativity. We go into the studio sometimes and go, let's drop acid and write music. Let's do shrooms and write music. Let's just smoke weed and write music. Let's do this and write music. And we would.
And Corey would come in and say, no, we copy this.
Hey, let's learn how to play music and then write music.
Hey, let's
we never said that one.
Let's suck each other's cocks and write music.
And being young and being creative and having the capability to do that in a harmless environment.
And what came out of those writing sessions was Rock Us Danny, which became one of the cult classics from
We need to see this one
forever.
Too. So, the original is awesome.
Rock is Danny.
It's rock and roll.
Right.
School day. Yeah!
Yeah.
Wait, why is he dressed up like future Corey in the movie?
Yeah.
Why was him looking at a door opening in that cut?
Because they cut it to the door opening from the movie.
Oh, that's what they were going for.
Because I was about to goof on that too, but they used. I don't know if they set that up.
I don't think it was set up, but they.
But they used it well. If we take it back, it does.
Used it well. Huh?
It does work. Cool. Editing wise, you know, hey, they're fair.
Look,
Jim and them are always fair to me.
Look how angry he is too when the door opens. He's like,
Rock is Danny.
Yeah, it's not on purpose. They close it immediately.
Rock and roll high school day. Yeah.
He looks really cool there, actually.
Yeah, sliding. He really does look like future Corey.
It really is like he's dressed up like for Loserville.
Yeah.
One of these days, guys. Loserville.
Ooh, blonde.
What?
When I made the deal to do Rock and Roll High School Forever,
he pulled off his girl hair to have longer girl hair.
The first movie was crap. I mean, it was as a
no, that movie's so good.
You know, you're watching this going, what is this? This is terrible. But for whatever reason,
that's
it was
so
the
funny
greatest
shit
cult
on that
sensation
movie.
In the world. It was on MTV every weekend. Rock and Roll High School, Rock and Roll High School. So
that's
I mean,
so
I was
funny
like,
shit
well,
on the good one.
The Ramones did okay. So I said, fine, but if I do this, I've got to be able to, you know, write the music that we perform. I don't want to be performing other people's music.
We got to go in the studio and we got to sing some backups on Rock Us, Danny.
I totally would just assumed that he wasn't in that movie a lot, but he's saying he wrote all the music in Rock and Roll High School
or
Forever.
Any, at least if whatever music in that movie his
he's
band
is a part of. Yeah. Yeah. I just, and
or,
it is wild.
Hey, Jim, you could say anything.
That's true, yeah.
You could say anything you want.
And there are things we've seen him just say things, yeah. And we know it's not
and if
true.
There was ever, you know how sometimes we say stuff in the Patreon that we'd never say on the live show? This is where you say stuff like that is in this doc that no one will ever see.
And like you were saying, Jeff, it's wild that he was shitting on the, and the only thing is I'm half waiting for him to be shitting on the original and then also shit on his, but then again, like, he would never shit on his thing,
well,
probably.
Like he literally, like, his is universally reviled, where like the other one has the Ramones, it's got like the girl from Halloween, it's got Clint Howard and Ron Howard in
Whoa.
The same movie. It's like on Astropiece, we've watched it like four times, it's great. The Ramones eat pizza and they look really disgusting.
I remember you've brought that up several
hey,
times.
Hey man, give me some pizza. That's how their lines are. And then the Corey one is actually sick and the other one sucks. For some reason, he Jim and them to the movie. He's like, for some reason, people like
vocals.
It.
So they let us have a little peek into that process.
I'm a songwriter. I want to write my own music. So they said, that's cool, but we want you to work with these guys. Which was a couple. And
they sucked. They were awful. They ruined all my music.
They
all my great ideas.
They wrote a bunch of bad songs that I fixed.
Yeah.
Great sensibility. Great musicianship. They formed their own band called Walk the Moon. So
Rock
we wrote
Rock
is Danny, and we wrote Rock is Danny Part 2.
Rock is Danny. We started talking about this character, Danny, and... Let's write a song about this character and how he developed. And if you listen to the songs, because there's a couple of different versions and the trilogy goes on.
Let me tell you, Rockin' Danny.
That's right, folks. 1989, right before I got sober. Meaning I was out of my freaking mind.
What?
Real trap.
Why were four songs playing right then?
You got to ask Jake Perry that question. Also, I feel like Busted was way later. Didn't we? Because we watched part of Busted.
Busted
was
11 minutes of it.
Because like 2000 something, right?
Well, it wasn't 2000, but it was after. I mean, it was after Meatballs 4 or Meatballs 3.
It looked like it was probably
on.
Like a 95, 96 thing.
Yeah.
By 1990, the team machine was running on empty. Now it was time for Corey.
Oh, no, I get it now. They weren't moving the topic to Busted.
Wait, he had heroin?
They were just saying,
he got in trouble.
Busted. I get it now.
And these things are fucking complicated.
These are deep bits.
Wait, I didn't know he had a heroin charge?
I don't know. I mean, I know he had to do anti-drug commercials, so I know he got arrested for something, but I didn't know what it was for.
To prepare for his biggest role to date, sobriety.
So if you notice, you know, I kind of went into this dark pit, you know, which is obviously a big reason why I also never got
back when I was on drugs.
Because I went into a dark hole from the time of Rock and Roll High School.
It's him with his eyes half open in the basement again.
I had lost everything. I had lost my car. I had lost my house.
That's not a hunk, Mike.
Rehab, then,
no.
You know, kind of hanging out with all the sober musicians.
I'm doing gym face at the office.
And... started recording demos with Mark Caron.
What's up with you?
Here we go.
What's up with you?
Corey's music is very unique to Corey.
This is where we get to modern Corey, finally.
That's me. Called him.
I can hear his influences pretty clearly. You know, he's got a lot of John Lennon in his music.
He's got a lot of Michael Jackson in his music, and he has a lot of Pink Floyd. In fact,
I don't listen to a lot of Pink Floyd, but is there a lot of...
The bridge to the joke.
Is that Pink Floyd?
You accidentally do because you listen to so much Corey.
That's right. I know a lot of Corey jams, so I do know Pink Floyd.
That's like, he's your Weird Al. Corey's
Dark side of the moon. To way down the wall.
How I wish you were here, yeah.
Woo!
I always felt like he kind of wanted me to lean in that direction on guitar.
Then that formed into him introducing me
to Alan.
Got a little
5 o'clock going.
And Alan.
He needs a beard. He needs a beard or a goatee back.
She divorced him.
He never looks worse than when he has the goatee.
No, he needs that goatee, bro.
No, because like that's like the him and Haim on that reality show, and he looks terrible with the goatee.
Hold on,
bro. Remember when he was in the band jacket, and you were like, that's cool. And you're like, he was looking easy core.
No, Jim needs to stop saying bra.
Yeah, relax, bro. Yeah, he needs the goatee, bro.
He's trippy.
His brothers, Howard Tiemann and Eric Tiemann, also started...
I Can't Breathe! Hell yeah!
He's trying it.
The origin of the I Can't Breathe.
That's so funny. Would somehow come full circle.
He's working on the Love Left 2.1 box set cover. Fuck yeah.
Working with me.
How determined was he to put a band together, to get an album going?
It was all a blur. That's the best way to... Everything was...
You know what? I think you'd assume that he's wearing a mask because it's COVID times, but he actually doesn't want to take credit for being the Love Left 2.1 box cover art guy.
He's like, I'll only agree to be in this documentary if you put up a fake name and let me cover my face.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck? Is that the guy from Korn? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely not Davis? Something Davis?
Jonathan Davis. Yeah.
Do you know what Jonathan Davis looks like?
Yeah, that looks like him if he was wearing
kinda
all this stuff.
Jeff's notoriously wrong when he does these, but I can see what he's doing here a little
pull
bit.
Pull up any picture of Jonathan Davis. Jim, you're
out of your element this time, Mike.
You ought to expose yourself like this, Mike.
You're out of your element, Mike.
Jonathan Davis, I guess he wore glasses.
No, this face, it looks kind of like a dread, too. His glasses
Jonathan Davis is known for his hair and his face, but not... wearing glasses. What about Jonathan Davis?
Look at him.
Kind of looks like
I get
him.
It's just
I get
glasses.
What he's going for. But I'm saying.
No, in the hair. He's
if he was wearing a mask and a hat, I get what
Jeff's
saying.
And the blue
saying.
Like strap hanging on his glasses look like a dread hanging out?
I guess.
You guess correct.
We're clearly looking at a
you
bald
win a prize.
Guy. We're looking at a bald guy, and Jonathan Davis, famous for long dreads and hair.
Yeah, but if he's wearing a druggy hat that almost looks like dreads, you could see it.
This is Moby. We're looking at Moby. You know Moby, Jonathan Davis, same guy.
Jonathan Davis is a fat guy now?
I'm sorry, it's not baby now. Hercules, Mike. Come on. Yeah. Not everyone could be baby Hercules.
He used to be a skinny boo back in the 90s days.
Who was a skinny boo?
Jonathan Davis.
Well, yeah, but everyone was. Have you seen Dexter Holland lately? He looks like
Why
Guy Fieri.
I? Why would I ever see Dexter Holland?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Mike.
He looks like Guy Fieri now.
You ever see Deftones guy with dreads? Ooh.
Yeah, no, that's
first album.
Peak Chino Moreno from Deftones.
You ever see Dexter Holland with dreads?
Who? Why would I?
You ever see Davey Havoc with dreads?
Whoa!
And I don't remember any of it.
Wait, hold on. Let's hear what his answer is, because he's also basically denying remembering it or doing
He's no-selling it pretty hard.
That's great.
It was all a blur. That's the best way to... Everything was, you know, Hollywood. It was fun as shit. And I don't remember any of it.
All right.
So his Hollywood experience was making that giant box.
Yeah, making the artwork anyways.
You can't see my face, and my story is that I don't remember anything.
That's my story.
Go ahead, put it in the doc.
It's nothing to it.
I fulfilled my contractual obligations. Please give me a check for $250.
Are you Jonathan Davis? No comment. No comment. Sorry, I had something in my throat.
Howard Tiemann, or Howie, as we called him. I was playing in a band in Los Angeles throughout
the
early
penis.
90s called the Long Necks. At that time, when
Corey was extremely enthusiastic
about his newfound sobriety and about going into a musical endeavor after doing some of that before and obviously doing a lot in his acting career.
I don't know why or how we hit it off, but... I ended up joining the band instead of
Wait, this is the guy from earlier.
No, but or is he? He's related.
Or does
to
he have the same
guy?
Last name?
Yeah, because he has the same last guy as the fake guy.
The same last guy.
Because it was Teeman. I remember Teeman. Oh, Howard, and then this guy is who?
Howard the man. Oh, Howard Teeman.
Yeah, don't worry,
Alan,
Corey.
Okay,
my brother will do it, but you just can't show his face, or he can't remember it.
Well, and is this a bit the director told him, or are all of them like, I don't know how I was in the band, but now I was?
I don't think it's a bit.
Oh shit! I have the interview. I have to turn on a pink light bulb and stack all my keyboards together.
Corey just has that crazy. Yeah, I got to put my three different size keyboards next to each other. Corey has that pink cocaine that makes
Mark
crazy.
Mark was like, "Look, I can't Cocobun. Do the shows. I can't play live because I'm so busy with my other stuff, but why don't you work with Alan?"
Plus, playing with Corey was super fun. The perks were awesome.
Yeah.
He's always- you know what he meant there, though.
Yeah,
Percocet.
He meant the actual perks.
Oh, yeah. Perks!
Yeah, because he even kind of, they cut away as he was mid-wink.
Sometimes we used tabs to play our music.
This guy, is it a wig or is that just incredible?
Yeah, it's just he's probably. I bet you if you found a young picture of him, he looks identical, like jacket, that haircut, and now he's just old.
But just how can he do that?
Sometimes you keep your hair.
I bet he's got extensions. I think he's got extensions.
Extendos on the clip.
He struck me as somebody that's driven. He's got the hunger, you know, and it
Why
shows.
Why is he on the floor?
And, so he gets a lot done. What the fuck? And he was always kind to me and friendly. You know, we always got along well.
I don't know how a Jewish kid can move like that. Makes no sense.
And boom.
What is that?
Yeah, dude.
What does that mean?
One, are Jewish people known for being bad dancers? But two, Corey's a bad dancer.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Jewish people are supposed to be good dancers.
Yeah, when they're all like hopping with the heads.
I don't know how a Jewish kid can move like that. They're supposed to be good.
They're supposed to be great.
Yeah, they're supposed to be doing that dreidel dance.
Yeah, they all hop around with the big hats and like lift them up on chairs and shit.
They do that German ha ha hey.
Yeah, yeah.
The German Cossack dance.
And we played gigs. We went out and actually did shows as a band. And that was the first time I did that, other than the few shows that I did, like The Palace, which were one-offs.
Corey Feldman and I ended up doing a few gigs together.
Oh, I thought it was a different
the
Corey.
Derby. Dumb. And then we also did the Hollywood Parade. That's me and Corey.
Michael Jackson did offer me
a very
powerful opportunity.
Amulet.
All right, what do we think? All right, what is it going to be going on tour and opening for him?
What did he used to say, Michael Jackson?
He used to say that Michael Jackson heard What's Up With the Youth and was like, this is a hit.
Yeah, this
Let me bring this to Sony Music or whatever. This is a number one.
Well,
hit.
I just say either that's the story he's about to tell, or he's going to tell us the version of that story about just like he was going to produce a track for me, or he wanted me to write a song together, or he wanted me and him to go sing a duet on a famous TV show. It's going to be the same version of the story where he goes, no, Michael.
I got to do it on my own.
Then people will think that I've cashed in and that it's not really me and that you're behind the scenes. It's going to be something like that, but for a different event.
What's great is the story works on all levels because it's a complete fabrication and lie and just points him out as the phony that he is.
Yeah.
But in the small chance that it's the truth, it's even better because you know he's haunted by it every single second of his life.
Yeah.
Why didn't I just, why didn't I just say yeah? It would have been huge. It would have been a big hit. Or just would have destroyed Michael Jackson even worse than the molestation allegations. Mr. King, he co-signed What's Up With the Youth?
Is this your king?
After I played him Barabbas. What's Up With the Youth,
and it's
the only song I ever played him, I took him out to my car in Palm Springs.
Jackson, we just wanted to take this moment to say hello.
Hello.
Oh my God, if he busts out footage where Michael Jackson's saying it's a hit, you know what? I'm going to eat a fucking crow.
Eat a crow. Mike.
Jim, if you're Michael Jackson and you're in a room with Corey and he plays you the world's worst song, what do you nicely
you're gonna
say
be,
to him?
Yeah, oh, that's a hit. That's
you've
great.
Got a hit on your hands. You keep doing your thing. Yeah. What he's doing is like placating him kindly in a way that is innocent and means nothing. And Corey is trying to turn it into like a personal endorsement that Michael was like ready to make the song for him and get him everywhere when it's just not that.
Yes. Well, and it's like we were talking about last week during the unboxing. It's either this guy's cursed where like he curses all of his friends to die, or he just looks at people, he collects dead friends to constantly talk about how close they were and all these adventures they had, so they're not alive to be like, I barely knew the weirdo.
You know, when like sports teams, like a football team or a basketball team has like a Make-A-Wish kid or something, and like they like the Make-A-Wish kid throws them a football and he's like, whoa, you got a cannon on you. Mm-hmm. Like, we better be worried about you, and you're going to be taking our job in 20 years. Now, imagine if that was Corey, that guy would be like a schlubby loser, but he's like trying to go to walk-on tryouts and be like, no, but you don't understand. 30 years ago, John Elway told me I had a cannon. He said that I was coming for his job. But like, everyone would be like, what, really? That didn't happen. There's no way that happened. That is Corey telling this story if we see any proof of something that might somehow validated.
I've never seen a Jewish boy move like that.
Come on.
Yeah, that K word, Rigo.
This was a big deal because Palm Springs.
Jack, we just wanted to take this moment to say hello.
Hello.
And we're in Palm Springs.
And this was a big deal because
that's proof.
Until then, the only time right there. Was as a little kid where he was driving. It was his car and I was going to his house and all that. And this was now, I'd just gotten out of rehab, and I was a man, and I was sober, and I was seeing Michael as an adult through sober eyes for the first time, and I played him What's Up With The Youth. And he got so excited by the song, he was like, Corey, this is amazing. This song is incredible, Corey. I'm telling you, I can make it number one.
He's doing the voice.
I'm like, you want the song? And he's like, no, I don't mean for me, for you. I'm saying you could get this all the way to number one. I could walk you in to Tommy.
You know what this is exactly like? This, if you go back to our My Truth Corey documentary commentary, when he tells the story of how Haim saw his haircut and was like,
that's
I love this. But then there was footage from like TMZ, and he's like, what is this?
And notoriously, like,
nice Mike, shit hair, dude.
Michael's like a sassy bitch. Like, he'll tell people stuff like that. There's like that footage of like the people banging on the glass. He's like, yeah, disgusting. And shit like that. He's always like, those clips of like he busts into regular Michael voice was like fucking new. Yeah.
There's compilations of him being, like a jerk to people. It's so funny.
He's like condescending. So he's like, Corey, I guarantee you could walk right into Zoe. He's like holding back laughter. And walk in number one hit.
And of course, not for me. For you.
Right now. And I could get you a number one record. I could walk you into CBS and present this song and do it. And I was like, oh, really? That's really sweet of you, Michael. But I don't want to ask you to do that. And he goes, well, you're not asking. I'm telling you I'll do it. And I'm like, you know, I appreciate it, but
look at the face of a liar.
I wanted to make it on my own, and I felt like if I was ever going to do it, I would do it on my own. And I don't know, I would feel like if you did that for me, I would just
copy you. I heard Weird Al, and I was like,
he's like, okay.
Okay, I guess I'll go fuck myself then.
I guess I'm Michael Jackson. I don't know shit about nothing.
I think he's about to say he regrets it.
Oh, okay. All right.
In this movie. Maybe not. Who knows? I probably would have had a very big number one hit with What's Up With The Youth, and it wouldn't have ended up on Howard Stern so that I could have been made fun of. But that said,
Howard Stern,
probably the reason why I didn't include it on the Love Left album.
Well, you know what's extra good?
I think that
I like how they're playing scary music.
Well, they're playing
now.
Sad music. It's like probably the reason I did the Howard Stern incident. So he told Michael Jackson, no, let's not show it to Sony. I got a better idea.
Yeah. It's great because it's sinister. It's more sinister than sad.
Well, and I like that he's like, you know what? I can be vulnerable and talk about like how I went on Howard Stern and got made fun of, but at least this documentary is a safe place. And no one will ever publicly watch it and make fun of me saying that I got made fun of also there.
What Howard Stern did was embarrassing made it look like such a joke.
He just filmed it.
It actually got me to not include it in the album. That's the truth of the matter. Even though Michael Jackson...
Playing Explosions
which version?
Right now?
There's like six versions of that song.
Well, he's talking about the...
he's talking about No Point
Oh. No, this is what we were talking about last week. This Truth Movement album's not even in the fucking box set. He doesn't even have... This was his like first album. It honestly is kind of sad that
you guys' feelings hurt that bad?
Well, no, because it's like he clearly had this thing that he was really proud of that he worked on, and it was immediately just ridiculed, and like they saw right through it immediately.
Worked
and he was
on.
Like, you know what? I'm just not even going to put it on the fucking album then. You know what? Yeah, I hope you're happy.
The lead single's not on the album. That Michael's right.
It would be a number one hit. So I guess I still what did he think he was going to
do on the Howard Stern show? Ride the Sibian?
Like, it's wild. Yeah. What was his
they're
plan?
Premiering new hot bands on Howard Stern's, from what I know.
Well, and especially when you show up and he's wearing a bald cap and like he's dressed like Rice Said Fred.
Yeah, you should have just like punched him in the bread basket. That would have been a like Corey Feldman owns Howard Stern clip with him forever.
He would have seemed more like an artist if he was like, I'm not fucking performing, get yeah. fucked. And then went on a, like an interview spree of like just shit talking Howard Stern.
You know what that would have been on the level of? It would have been on the level of the Lone Rangers refusing to lip sync on their big music video shoot. Outside the record store that they took hostage.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's exactly fair. Like
yeah,
that.
All right. I didn't remember the band name.
It also took me a second because I didn't remember the band name either.
Remember when he just throws his guitar back and puts his arms up? Oh, what yeah. a moment.
Or like when Rage Against the Machine just played like noise and taped their mouths while their dicks were out.
Or when the guy from Rage Against the Machine climbed up on that globe or whatever
during
at the VMAs or
yeah,
something.
He was mad about Limp Bizkit winning. Yeah.
This was like airing the red carpet.
This is like MTV.com where Corey had a hit single.
Yeah. I look at some of the career choices that I made at that time and I go, wow, what was I thinking?
That was making music. What the fuck? What's wrong with me?
Some of your decisions.
Why did I make music? I should have just acted.
On my own. And I think, you know, I kick myself for saying no sometimes. Who knows what would have happened?
Like he said no to Michael, but yes to Howard.
Well, when you put his story in perspective,
it's all about how he loves Michael Jackson. If you're to believe, the only piece of advice was like, "I'll help you make music," and he's like,
"Nah,
I'm kind of like DIY."
Well, and even in his words, he historically had one bad experience playing shows live, and it was a comedy show that he was like, "Oops, that's not a good that was a bad experience even from the beginning," and he not only didn't learn from it, but he said no to his hero and then yes to another comedy show.
Me was that I wanted to feel like I wasn't
the soul of a poet
to use him. I felt like he probably had so many people that were just taking him out to their car to play him a song so that they could get something out of it.
Do you think he talks about how then he was mad that Michael Jackson left him to die in New York?
Oh, yeah.
Because when 9/11 happened.
Yeah, this fucking megaloman offered to to make me a number one single, and I said no.
Then he wouldn't even save my life.
Yeah, then I had to jump out of a building, but I live.
I saw his true colors when 9/11 happened.
I was the guy upside down, but then I landed, and that's good.
I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing it to get something out of it. I just wanted his opinion. And that's all I needed. And for my
And I
Jackson
said, fuck your opinion, you dumbass.
One, that's pretty much all I needed to hear.
All right, you know what? We're stopping here because we're only 27 minutes in.
Okay.
We have 30 minutes left, basically.
I do like what he
28
said.
28 minutes.
He tried to paint it as like, hey, you know what? Who needs a number one single when Michael Jackson says he likes your song? But what he really said is, hey, I'm not popular because the story that no one can prove didn't happen totally happened. Yeah. And Michael Jackson loves my music. Prove me wrong.
You know what? Who needs people liking your music when you have a lie to fall asleep at night?
Who needs piles of money when you have an unsubstantiated story that's impossible to disprove?
Well, a lot of people think I was lying about hanging out in Palmdale with Michael Jackson. Play the video.
Here we are in Palmdale.
Here we are.
Cuts. Just one of the footage is like, we're in
and he goes,
Palmdale,
we just want to say hi. Yeah.
And he's like, see?
Yep, see? It happened. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I just wanted to freestyle for him, and then he said, I'll give you $1 million. And I said, hey, here's looking at you, kid. And then Howard Stern was like, oh, yo.
But yeah, we'll have to pick up and watch the rest of this next week.
Say next week. Oh, thank God.
Yeah. We're going to be back for part two. We're still going to talk about some other stuff, but
we just don't do a part two. So we're going home, though.
But yeah, we'll be back. Stick around. Thank you, people, hanging out in the chat. Shit. What do I want to play?
My dick's too shitty.
Yeah. My dick's all shitty. Actually, you know what? I did hear recently.
cup.
My dick's all shitty.
I mean, that could be part two.
You immediately play and my dick's all shitty again.
Fuck, what was it? It was, I wanted to play that segment of that radio war where that guy died.
Oh, that's great.
Shit, yeah. What would it be under? Because I actually was listening to it recently. I was going through some stuff.
I love their clip of us singing, and it's like the most us that's ever, like, it's the most us thing. And they hate it, but it's so us. Like, it's not even like they take it out of context. It's totally in context. They just don't like it. Oh, you'll love
it, were just doing improv singing stuff during our show.
Shit, oh, yeah, we used to do that.
Yeah, it's a thing. We're like Corey.
I forgot we used to do that. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, the penis.
Can you imagine a band that's just called The Penis?
I'm surprised, like, in the 60s that didn't happen. Every The Band happened.
Hey, we're The Penis.
I guess the Sex Pistols?
Oh. Wait, yeah, this must be it. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, I guess the Sex Pistol is, that's a term for a cock that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Pow.
Love gun.
Okay, here it is, yeah. This is an old segment from fucking over 10 years ago at this point. But this is a person that tried to mess with Jim and them, and this is what happened.
It's the October of 2012.
Ah. Remember it like it was yesterday.
What are the hit songs of
October 2012? Oh, boy.
We can just set the stage a little bit.
Pitbull had to be doing something. He's always doing something. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I remember it. Oh, now
I
remember
if we could just,
I feel like it's my birthday again last year.
If we could just take it back, set the scene. You know, this is fucking, it's not even Halloween yet. It's beginning of October. Well, it's mid-October. Okay.
Sounds like a great month.
But there were haters lurking. There were haters lurking. Because the podcast was released. I'm not going to say what podcast it was yet, because we need to get into this first. We need to break this down a little bit. And we need to figure out, you know, what's going on. Because I found this last night, you know, by accident. I was Googling something with our show. They do a thing where they feature podcasts.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, maybe they liked their show.
Uh-oh.
And
yeah, all right.
I was like, cool. Maybe they liked our show. So, you know, they were like, oh, talking about us. I was like, it's weird. We didn't fucking hear about that.
Oh, you think they would have sent an email over like, hey, just so you know, talked about you guys. Really thought you were great.
So, I mean, we'll just play them playing our show first.
Making their debut on Pod Soup is the Jim and Them podcast. Honestly, I don't know who is who. I don't even know which one is Jim and who is them. What I do know is they love to take any topic and start singing about it like any other great comedy podcast would do. Matter of fact, I don't know how they're not number one on the Stitcher Awards list for any category.
Yeah, singing.
Here, they're singing about the TSA at the airport.
Celebration. And then you start dancing like, I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Is this a real song?
TSA,
or are you making
hooray.
Song?
TSA, hooray.
So far,
if that weren't
good.
Funny enough, here they are singing about calibrating the TSA body scanner at the airport to the tune of a very, very familiar song.
Calibrate good times. Good
times.
Come
on. Calibration.
Calibrate.
Yeah. Yeah, bitch.
I'm laughing at bitch, not these guys.
Mike Cooper and brother Rick. See how funny that is?
That's actually funny.
It is.
I was just...
Yeah, Mark. Mark Cooper. Calibrate good times.
Come on.
Yeah. Now I know you want to run to iTunes and hit the subscribe button, but before you do that, here's the Jim and Them show singing about... lotion.
It's lotion for the ocean.
Dude, sing a lot.
Lotion for my ocean. It's that magic potion.
And then
they
mix it with lotion, motion, potion.
They just kind of.
Yeah.
Alan's peeing over there.
Please.
Dude.
Please, pick yourself up off the floor. Back your car or big rig out of the ditch you just drove into, because I've got one more.
Oh, wow.
This time, they're singing about...
Wait, let me drink milk so it could go out of my nose. All right, go.
Okay,
good one.
It's up there with our singing.
Here they are singing about someone carrying a recording device.
Recorder, reporter, what's your order? Order me a new set of planes.
Order in the court, that's my recorder. Put it in my bag, you are not a reporter.
What are you a stenographer? Report.
Now, I actually feel like our show sounds awesome, even with just these out-of-context things.
I've never heard those before, and I think they're fucking hilarious.
Clearly, they're just out-of-context. I mean, I still think, like, we're not, that's not our show. We're not, like...
Yeah, it's not really a bit we do often is sing. I mean, we'll joke about something, but that's not a, I don't know, that doesn't really sum up the show in any way. That might have been one episode where we got on a bit. It sounds like we're doing Schoolhouse Rock.
I know
about
we were just being. I remember being silly that show.
Yeah.
But like, you know, taking stuff out of context, real easy to do. I mean, I could do it to their show.
They had one guy that shoved an entire cell phone up his asshole.
Can you hear me now?
A 1980s cell phone.
Wow.
That was my favorite. That was also my favorite.
All right, good. Still good.
Classic commercial.
Because basically, if you're just tuning in, what we found ourselves, we are in the midst of a...
I don't know what goes through their heads.
Oh, that's not it. We're in the midst of a radio war. I don't have the fucking clip. God damn it. But we're in the midst of a radio war.
Radio war!
Not only that, but I also have other clips of their show out of context. We could just play clips out of context from their show.
All right, so the podcast is coming out, you know, a couple days late, and the reason for that is because on Monday, when we would normally open the show or stream the show and record it for Extreme Talk XM 165.
See, they actually also record, and it gets played on Sirius XM.
Cool. Oh.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was in... it was an outpatient deal. I wasn't in the hospital, but it was at the hospital. So I had all to right. go and have all this fluid drained from my abdomen and also from around my right lung. Now, the fluid's not in the lung. It's just in that kind of lung cavity area. Hmm. So it goes up in there, and it basically collapses my lung and makes it hard to breathe.
Yeah, nice show.
Basically, all these guys do is talk about this guy's lung. Do we have more clips about his lung? Oh, and if you can believe it, they continue talking about his lung.
So we had to take the stairs.
Brutal.
All the way up.
Oh,
and fuck, man. I thought I was going to have a heart attack, a stroke, and...
Well, you know my lung.
Just die.
So, yeah, like... Oh, yeah. Well, the episode where they talk about us, that was their second to last episode.
What? It's over?
Because on their last episode, they had some more updates.
So last week, the gastroenterologist thinks that I've got a breakdown in my lymphatic system. And the lymphatic, you know, the fluid that goes through the lymph system isn't getting pumped back into my bloodstream. Therefore, it's collecting in my abdomen and then around my lung.
I would like it if they were
singing.
You have
an emphatic lymphatic problem.
Well,
lymphatic problem.
That's the thing.
No.
Throw it out the window.
So a week ago today, they drained.
Changed.
Yeah, the game's changed. They.
Motherfucker!
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
And we finally figured it was we figured it out. It was a benign tumor that was secreting fluid. And I thought, I'm thinking all these things in my head.
And then on April 1st, he died.
What?
Like, for real? It wasn't an April Fool's joke?
No, he's dead. That guy's dead
what?
Now.
What? We killed him without even
There's
trying.
There's Quang whining
that
again.
That guy's dead.
No.
He crossed
fault.
Us
and
one
then,
time.
Then.
And then he did one more show.
And then he
and
died.
And then he died.
Then he fucking died. Well,
oh, my God.
Jim, don't. I know. Please don't die now.
I know, man. It made me immediately feel so much better that I had to do a show. Because I had to talk about this, because we always talk about how haters die. But this guy really died.
Oh, man. I don't even feel bad.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Oh, I feel shitty that he died.
Do you?
That's why I...
last thing he did was talk about how shitty we were and just play us singing out of context. Why do I care if he died? I never knew the guy. The only interaction I've had with him is in this moment where I found out he was talking shit about me. And now he's dead.
And now he's dead.
I'm not saying
I hope he died in a school shooting.
That was the quickest radio war ever. We didn't even have to do anything.
Man, that radio war was great.
We just had to, wait him out.
I can't wait to find out about all the other radio wars we had. Are you kidding me that the number one song was Die Young by Kesha?
Yes.
I didn't even realize. The only thing
out of the ditch you just drove into, because I've got one more.
Oh.
This time, they're singing about...
Wait, let me drink milk so it could go out of my nose.
That guy.
Oh, that guy died.
There we go.
Getting fucked by a cow in the throat.
Here they are singing. There's one more. One more.
By the way, you're listening to Marv featuring Cousin Bob.
Alan Cooper is gonna die young. Just in the first 20 minutes of that show. I swear to God. That's as far as I can get. I was like, I can't take it anymore.
Carter, Carter.
Really is as far as he could get.
Uncle Remus with you.
Now, you know what they say, though?
Yeah.
He who laughs last. Now that guy laughs.